undid my collector armor, and I had to go buy it for 50,000 credits.
50,000.
Test.
Testicles.
Testicles. I could be louder. Testicles. There we go.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Hi everyone, it's March 15th, 2012, and I just gotta say, this afternoon, I felt like today was the craziest day on the internet. I was sitting there on Twitter, going like, I think I should just call it WTF at Internet Everything, because, no matter what, like, every couple of minutes, something new was going on. I was like, what's happening to the internet? Like, you know, the Whiskey Media is split apart, and Giant Bomb is going over to CBS and in the same building as GameSpot. And then one of our news stories, even though we knew it was coming, kind of dropped a hammer. We're going to talk about it right as soon as we start our topic list. But man, what a day. Gog Dog, what crazy thing happened to you on March 15th today?
Oh, we got a Gutokuru Minerva finally went up for pre-order.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal, right?
And well, you know what the big deal was? I checked the thread, and the opening of the thread, no one was complaining about the price. Some said that they were unhappy, but that they expected it. And I was good on you guys.
It was actually cheaper than I expected, because at least if you order from Ami Ami. So. That was a good surprise. It was cheaper than I expected, so that's good.
Yeah.
So, and that's a good omen for when Jinrai is eventually goes up for pre-order. So.
Yeah, it's like, what, sub $80 before shipping, and that's pretty good.
I was expecting 100 after or before. So.
Yeah. And also here with us today on this crazy March 15th is Seth Buzzard.
Hello.
Anything wacko happened to you today?
Yeah, I got a new boss at work too.
Good Lord.
So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, unknown quantity getting dropped into a workplace is, especially one that will have power over your livelihood, can be a little nervous.
Kind of hope he ends up being a cool dude, I'm guessing. That'd be good.
I do too.
Yeah.
It would be weird if I was hoping he'd be a jerk.
I hope I hate him. And while all this was going on, it was distracting me from watching, for the very first time in my life, Singing in the Rain in the second half of my directing class today. I never seen Singing in the Rain. Pretty impressive musical. Real happy. Feels so foreign nowadays, because we just watched The Maltese Falcon, which was not a very happy movie. Peter Lorre is awesome. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Peter Lorre quite yet. We're here to talk about Transformers. We're going to open up with, now I think we talked about this briefly some weeks ago, and I haven't checked the thread, I've only seen the front page item, but we kind of got from BotCon confirmation that basically, to not quote someone, but to summarize the gist of it, there are to be no third-party toys for sale in the dealer room at BotCon 2012. We had some clarifications happening, and I want to throw out that one of the main reasons we got this clarification is because a couple dealers, right off the top of my head, Sidecutter from Captured Prey specifically, were asking a lot of questions because the original wording of this thing was extremely vague. And while it was obvious what the baseline intent was, it was worded vague enough for it to set some pretty ugly precedent. So they pretty much were asking for clarification and maybe just more layman terms to make it clear for people who will want to sell stuff at BotCon. And that was basically, as long as it's official Hasbro or Takara Tomy, or if it's officially licensed, it's fine for sale. If it's not licensed, it's not fine for sale. So the this was then further clarified with... basically, don't bring it if you don't think it's going to be saleable. Although I kind of wish that the wording in the front had not been used of, quote, I'm afraid the details will not be provided. There are so many third-party items, no one's going to provide a list of what is acceptable on licensed toys. That could have been worded better. Saying details will not be provided is not a good quote. But there were still several questions about this, because this and this is why I took a lot of interest in this story. This can have a bad trickle effect if it's not maintained very well and very professionally, because the very nature of what is being removed from the dealer room is stuff that is tangentially related to both fan art, the artist's alley, commission drawings, one-of-a-kind pieces, and even stuff like Callie something, I always forget her Twitter name on Twitter, who does the Puggle Formers, which are just small plush Transformer-related, like little plush things, one-of-a-kind plush things. Stuff that is not in any way obviously the target of this can still legitimately, or either now or through trickle down or further harsh wordings or just bad precedent, become part of this whole mess. So there's my main thing about this story. The whole notion of like third party toys, it is entirely in the right of BotCon to say they don't want something sold at their convention. That's entirely in their right. That said, I think it is kind of a bummer because that's yet another thing lost from the dealer room experience, which already suffered, in my opinion, a major blow when, for whatever reason, Big Bad Toy Store stopped coming by, because that was a wall of the dealer room. That was a regular occurrence. That was no longer there. The other major blow being that G1 toys at BotCon are stupidly expensive about 70% of the time. So it kind of sucks that the dealer room is being diminished further. I entirely understand both ends of this. I am not angry that this has happened, because it's in their right and there are clear reasons that are completely logical why this should happen. I have one other thing to drop, but I don't want to keep talking this entire time. So, Gog, how do you feel about this occurrence so far?
I mean, it's really easy to jump to conclusions, and I'm probably certainly guilty of doing that myself, but I think it's just the fact that everybody has, for one, fears of what this means, and for two, a little bit of lamentations as far as like things changing for most people's perspective in a negative way. Like you said, the loss of BBTS hasn't been there since, I believe, 2009. So I think it's a darn good chance that TF Source won't be back after this year, if they're even coming at all this year. I haven't heard anything. So, but TF Source sells mostly third party unlicensed items. So that's a bummer, because they are a huge deal. I certainly haven't heard anything from BotCon. I don't know one way or another, but I haven't heard any announcements about the dealer room table selling out. So I don't think they have, unless I just missed it, but I know usually by this time, pre-convention time, I believe we've usually heard some sort of confirmation of that selling out. So I don't know. And that could also just be a side effect of, the website being down for so long and then not taking credit cards. So I have no idea. It might be unrelated, but, one thing that I'm wondering about this is who is this coming from? Is this coming from Hasbro, or is this coming from FunPub, who is doing this in Hasbro's name? Because Hasbro is the license holder. But if they're doing it, because, you know, Pete has been going on about Pete Sinclair, basically who runs BotCon under Brian Savage. You know, he went on his infamous tirade last year, last fall,
cheapening
the hobby. How, you know, it's all wrong. It shouldn't be allowed. Shouldn't be done. You know, and like one of my main criticisms of that was like, well, and because he had some harsh words to say about people who sold the stuff, and I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of stinky that you're talking trash about the people who sell it when those people are putting money in your pocket at a convention. So in a positive way, he's putting his money where his mouth is.
For sure.
Or someone is, but because now he's not going to talk trash about people after he's taken their money. At least, hopefully, the people knew ahead of time that this was going to happen without having to read the fine print.
That is the part that got me a little bit annoyed. Basically, Sidecutter is the reason why I know about this, because he said, hey, did anyone else see this fine print?
And he's the one that got the thread going and has basically been spearheading the, we need to know more about this. And that thread was posted weeks and weeks ago.
Yeah.
So the fact that we've only just recently gotten confirmation on this is a little sour because it almost seems like, well, we don't want to say anything until after. And again, I don't know. Maybe that's just wrong of me to insinuate. But if that's the information, if that's going to be the policy from BotCon, I think that they should give clarification of that much earlier than what we got.
Yeah, I didn't like the way that we had to learn about it, but
right. It's like we have to press you or not to know what we're even going to be selling at your convention, because guess what? This is what we've sold for years.
Yeah.
The other is kind of, I mean, so I will give them that. I will give Pete that. If that is his stance and he's going to stand up for it, that's great. But that's what I want to know is this FunPub, or more specifically, you know, Pete Sinclair, flexing his muscle and using the Hasbro license to do it, or is this something that Hasbro is, because, you know, there's been rumblings lately about Hasbro themselves, because they had made a statement at, I think it was CyberCon recently in China just last week about how they made kind of a statement during a question and answer. And it wasn't really like an official press release. Somebody asked them at a Q&A, basically at the China equivalent to BotCon, and Hasbro basically stated, we don't support them, we don't have any intention of working with them, you know, that sort of thing. But it was more, it seemed to be more of a solicited response from a question asker versus Hasbro going on the action themselves.
Hasbro didn't post it on their website or ask websites to share it.
It was an answer to a question from a customer.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's just it, but this all brings up a bunch of questions, like, you know, and like one example that someone had brought up that, you know, made a lot of sense to me is like, what about BotCon 2004 Action Master G2 Breakdown, which was basically during the days of when the official Transformers Collectors Club, OTFCC, had the official license from Hasbro to be the one and only official Hasbro Transformers convention. BotCon ran in an unofficial manner. At that time, BotCon basically made unofficial knockoffs in the form of G2 Breakdown. I believe they made like unofficial Transformers comics that use Transformers characters. So, like, they're guilty of doing this themselves, of making products that were not official, were not licensed, violated intellectual property, IP, which is a term they've been really throwing around lately. I asked Pete about that today. I was like, what about Action Master Breakdown? I got the response of, Action Master Breakdown was a free custom giveaway. The tweet was deleted within about 15 seconds. I got the push notification. By the time I opened the message, it was gone. So I don't know if that's actually their official stance or if he just decided that. So I don't know.
I'm really glad that if that was going to be a response, that they took that down.
I kind of wish it was, because guess what? Now I can go to TF Source and I can buy a $500 Snickers bar, and as a free gift with that Snickers bar, as people pointed out on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, they could have then given me a Hercules for the thank you for buying their candy.
That is specifically why I was when I caught wind that was a tweet that was publicly viewable for even a second. I was like, why would you say that?
But that is what they said. It was not a knockoff. It was a free custom giveaway. And if that's the loophole you want to fall under, guess what? Every other freaking unofficial, unlicensed third party can use the exact same thing. So you better thank God you deleted that tweet, Pete. That's all I'm going
to
say.
You almost opened up a can
of worms.
Like, if I had any say in their social media, I would have said, don't say anything that is basically like, well, here's the ground rules workaround as to how that, like, do you know what they, okay, here's, I'm going to just role play for a sec here. Someone asked me that question. I currently work for FunPub. Here's my parting line. 2004 was 8 years ago. Back then, we had a way of doing things. Right now, we've changed our mind. I personally don't think that's a very good answer, but that's the answer to give.
Well, my theory is Brian Savage is now standing behind Pete every time he tweets, basically saying, Pete, just stop talking, please. Because you're hurting us.
If you do anything,
please delete that tweet. Just delete it. Don't tweet anymore today, please.
If he said anything that was not a simple statement that could not then be applied to the present day, especially if you're going to start saying, like, you're going to lay down the criteria of how it was right, all that does is let other people make their stuff fit that criteria.
Exactly.
Like, that's not the way to do it.
So, but regardless, you know, it was deleted. Yeah. I'm going to assume that he changed his mind or whatever, and that's not the stance they take, but whatever.
Thank
but
goodness.
That is what was said. Like, you know, and like the other thing is like, and like friend of the podcast, Silvershot, had mentioned on Twitter, like, well, you know, a lot of these third party unlicensed figures, you know, they resemble characters that we know. Like, it's, they're unmistakable who they're supposed to be, but they're not designed exactly the same. They resemble those characters, and some more than others. Like, you're not going to look at Hercules and say that's not Devastator.
Yeah.
But, you know, some are more of like, you know, especially with the fans project stuff, like, take the Insecticons.
Better example. Take the first two causality ones, the white shuttle and the red Jeep.
Okay.
They were modeled after G1 Micromasters.
Right. So the point that Silvershot brought up is, what about Revenge of the Fallen Sideways? He's not an Audi, but he's designed to look as much like an Audi as you can get, but that's Hasbro trying to emulate someone else's product that they don't have a license for and trying to skirt it as much as possible. Most of the classics figures take parts from other cars and kind of amalgamize them into new vehicles, but you can definitely look at like the back end of a car and say, like, that's that. But isn't that kind of Hasbro doing the same thing? Like, they're taking a something they don't have a license for, and they're trying to make it look as close as possible to appease the people who saw that on screen, but just enough to where they don't have to pay a license fee for that. Isn't that the same thing that Fans Project is doing?
It's a very slippery slope conversation. I think it's a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I'm not a slope. Yeah.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say is that's a slope that will open up when you decide to lay a law down like this.
Friends on Twitter have been debating these points back and forth all day.
Yeah.
And there's even disagreement among the people. And I'm not saying I'm taking a side either way, but these are all really interesting points that, I mean, they are opening up a can of worms. The bottom line with this is, in the end, legality doesn't matter, because this isn't being judged in a court of law. It's being judged because this is Hasbro's convention and they can do whatever the hell they want.
It's privately run at the end of the day.
Right. So, you know, but it's like, I think the bigger question is this Hasbro or is this FunPub
using
Hasbro's name to assert their own will?
Yeah.
And not one is necessarily right or wrong, but it would be nice to know.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that the FunPub panel is going to be really interesting this year.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't think anyone in their right mind is going to tell us who is the major push behind it, because as we've seen interacting with Pete on Twitter, his line is, no, I feel that we all here at FunPub vehemently feel this way about third-party items.
And yeah, but at the same time,
that's the screen,
yeah,
basically.
And then I go back to remembering the picture that, you know, seminal Transformer designer Eric Siebenhaler of the picture of the City Commander armor on his desk in his Hasbro office.
And that's why he works at Star Wars now.
So it's just like, I don't know. It's the whole situation is just kind of a mess. But as of right now, all the mess kind of revolves around FunPub and BotCon. And it's like every week that goes by lately, it's just like,
well, there's one big calamitous news item and then two kind of fun news items about what's happening with the convention. Seth, how are you feeling about the third-party SmackDown beatdown, as you have bought third-party toys at BotCons before? Do you...
No, uh-oh, sir, I don't like it.
He's spoken.
I'm not a fan. I mean, in the past, Hasbro has come out against knockoffs, and I remember what was it? Rabid Squirrel was doing a fake RC, and I think Hasbro mm-hmm. did make some overtures at them to knock it off.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly, I mean that was a long, long time ago, but like the cat is way out of the bag on this stuff, and especially when the people making the things are in China, it's much harder to reach them, it's harder for Hasbro to reach them legally in any significant way. So, I mean, I could see Hasbro being a part of this and it just not all being on Fun Pub to make this decision. But I think it's an unfortunate decision. And I could see going after knockoffs because those are straight up remakes of official stuff. But the third party original sculpted things, you could make, you know, I understand the argument about IP infringement and whatnot, but I don't think it's that big of a problem. And, you know, then you could also argue, like, well, it doesn't matter what you think because it's not your IP.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, well, go screw
yourself. Well, here's the thing that I think some people also skip is, like, my question to those who are really against third parties, I go, like, well, speaking as a fan of Transformers Prime, can you tell me what third parties are doing to take my business away from Transformers Prime? The answer being nothing, because there are no Transformers Prime third-party toys. And it's like, boom.
Right. And the reason why a lot of official Hasbro stuff at conventions is so expensive is because the people selling them didn't get them directly from Hasbro a lot of times. They're reselling stuff that's already been bought by a retailer and then bought from that retailer and now being resold. And that's a lot of the reason why it's so expensive, because on their way to wherever BotCon was that year, this dealer that came from a different state hit every Target, Walmart, Kmart, and wherever else along the way and grabbed as much as they could of whatever's the newest, most popular thing, so they could resell at a stupid, overblown price. My personal feelings is knockoffs are even okay as long as that's what they're being sold as. As soon as you try to pawn them off as legit, then whoa, buddy. And that stuff is all, and you know, maybe there's an argument to be made that, okay, they're lower quality, they're not as good as the real thing, but then that could put a bad light on Hasbro. But most of this knockoff stuff is like Generation 1. It's stuff that isn't being made anymore. It's not reflective of modern day Hasbro and modern day Transformers. So whatever. I think it's very, very unfortunate. I really hope that they're not too stupid about it. But like with TF Source, even if they weren't aware of what's going on, I'm sure that they're locked into their table. So either they have to maybe try to get a refund or just write it off as a loss. But yeah, like TF Source tables are barely have any, if any, official merchandise.
It's like Masterpiece Toys from Japan and some Alternity, if I recall, like last year.
Yeah. And so I mean, that's where I got that cup heads from iGear.
Yeah,
table.
Taking business away from Hasbro and their fine line of alternate cup heads. Oof.
Yeah. And if anything, like, I know that there's some people that ended up getting cup just because they thought the cup heads looked better and, well, oh, maybe I'll get cup after all. So, I don't know. I really think it's dumb. And, you know, this is just another thing that makes me think, well, maybe I don't come back to BotCon anymore. Like, all the other problems, the way they kind of handled dealing with those problems, and now if this dealer room turns out to be a barren, awful wasteland, then, you know, why do I bother? Why do I keep doing this to myself?
Because at the end of the day, and this is a point made which I do agree with, at least the dealer room isn't the most important thing about the show. That said, it sucks that it is being diminished once again.
The deal room is pretty important, though. I don't think we should understate that.
Well,
the most important thing is a matter of opinion, but to a lot of people, the most important thing is the people there, like seeing people that they don't get to see otherwise. But that's to the people who go every year and have that investment with the community and enjoy seeing that. To other people, it's seeing the guests. There's certainly a lot of people who that's the most important thing. They want to see those voice actors. They like to get to interact with them. They want to go to the autograph table. They want to see to some people it's the Hasbro panel, like getting that preview, that getting to see toys months ahead of everybody else. Like, that's super important. There are certainly people out there, I bet you, that think the dealer room is one of the most important things there.
Oh no, there are.
It is for me.
Yeah,
it's really important to me because, you know, even with all that other stuff, I still spend a really big chunk of the time walking the dealer room, and even if it's stuff I can't afford, it's cool to see. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see some of this third-party stuff there in person. And it's cool to see, like, the weird, just bizarre knockoff stuff. The stuff that you couldn't pass off as being legit. Like, the weird-ass, like, crazy colors. And they took out, like, all the points of articulation except for two and fused all the rest.
Well, like the Shockwave with the bright-ass blue LED.
Yeah, that knockoff Shockwave I got.
Yeah.
But when... Because in all the years I've gone, the only official stuff I've ever bought is like a very small amount of like G1 stuff. Like I got that Headmaster last year. I don't think the year before that in Florida, I didn't buy a single Hasbro branded thing. Like I think I got like one or two Japanese things and then everything else was kind of third party stuff. And then going back and back, like I think it's stupid to try to buy anything current because the prices are jacked up so high. So you wouldn't want to buy prime stuff. The first time I was in Pasadena, I bought an animated Ratchet and paid extra for it. But that was just because they were getting hard to find anywhere else. And I was kind of late to the game with animated and I missed Ratchet the first time around. But you take away this other stuff, then I'm losing interest because I'm not buying anything current. I can't afford to buy hardly anything old. And then the stuff in the middle, I either already have or I'm not interested in. So
and
then what's
just,
left?
Just
and now I'm not spending money in the dealer room at all.
And just to clarify, outside of BotCons, you do purchase official Transformers toys pretty often. Like, just to lay that groundwork down there. It's not like you are a third-party purist of any kind.
No, it's like, just at a convention dealer room, that is, like, the worst place to buy anything current.
Absolutely. $45 The Fallens. I'll always remember. $45 Mixmasters. All that BS.
Till you get home, and you go to where you normally go, and you get it there for their legitimate price.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's gonna, oh, man. It has the potential of being just dull and awful that dealer room.
Outside of the contents of the dealer room, and I will mention, like, when I say, like, it's not a good thing that I say, well, the dealer room's not the most important part of the experience. It's not good when a still integral component of a convention is slowly becoming a, well, it's there, but it's not all that important because blah, 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 blah. There was a concern I wanted to share that was risen by a gentleman on Twitter, very fine, sexy gentleman, I'll add, just completely out of context. Who expressed a concern that I definitely felt a deep connection with, which is that it's someone who's going to be doing prints and selling them in the artist's alley. And if people feel dissuaded from coming to the dealer room for any length of time beyond peeking inside, that's going to affect the business of the artists in artist's alley for sure. But that is only the smaller qualm. My own more hippie-like larger concern is when, like, will this do not infringe our IP with third-party toys, level of control at some point extend to the artists? Because, you know, obviously, you don't want artists drawing pornography and selling it in a public place that children walk into, for sure. No, you don't want to do that. But does this precedent set the tone for perhaps something like Hasbro has requested that any fan art or commission print that draws on their IP must be approved by a Hasbro PR person to accurately reflect the tone and mood of the franchise as per the wishes of the company before it can be sold in Artist Alley. This is not something that has been said. It's not something that will be said. But to me, the tone of the way that the third-party toy party van was handled is the kind of thing that unfortunately feels like it could go down the road to starting to affect the artists and custom pieces that you can purchase at BotCon. It can lead to those being affected in ways that I think would be creatively stifling in a non-justifiable way as a creative hippie that I am.
Well, and when you brought up something I meant to to touch on before when you brought up the girl that makes the Puggle formers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could decide, oh, that's okay, and let her do her thing, and then crack down on this other guy over here who then goes, well, how is that any different?
Exactly.
And now they're put into a corner where they're going to have to do something. And either they come off looking like they're picking and choosing and playing favorites and say, don't worry about that. Or they're going to then turn around and feel like they don't have a choice and do something about that. Now she's screwed. Yeah. So I don't know. It's a mess. It's a mess.
I wouldn't feel
so bad if it was only knockoffs. Like, if they were going after knockoffs, it's like, okay, well, you know, because there was that thing. Was it last year or the year before?
The table of knockoffs right across from the Fun Pub booth, pretty much.
Right. And we had a bunch of eyewitness accounts of those guys selling those knockoffs, trying to pass them off on people who didn't know any better as being the real deal. Yeah. That is nowhere near okay. That's not okay in any way. So, you know, ugh.
And then also,
and someone accidentally buying one thinking it's real. Like, even if they didn't advertise it as being real, but this person thought, oh man, I got a real thing. As long as everyone's honest about it and say, this is fake, don't think it's for reals, it's not as good as the reals thing, I'm okay with that, but that doesn't mean Hasbro and FunPub have to be okay with it.
Yeah. Notice
how I pronounced fun.
I totally agree that, like, that's why this is such a weird issue to talk about, because there are stages of it that are cool, and there are stages of it that aren't cool, and this kind of leads me to the last thing I wanted to talk about, which is to share some words with two very vocal contingents that have risen up once again in regards to this issue. So first off, just speaking to all those dudes who are like, ah, excellent, I'm glad this has happened, and I hope that they can crush those foul third-party companies. To that crowd, number one, get over yourself. There is no magic Hasbro fairy that's going to reward you for your outspoken and arrogant loyalty. Hopefully you don't think there is one, because if you do, you're insane. But that aside, I do not understand the aggressive attitude of not only outright saying, like, I'm glad they did this, and then going on to basically come at people who are a bit bummed, go like, maybe you should get over your childish entitlement. And it kind of makes me go like, number one, like, calm the F down, because now you're coming off like you think Hasbro is going to give you a pat on the back for being the cheerleader, and you are coming off as a rank-ass internet cheerleader. So don't do that, because it's making you an unpleasant person. And now, I have just got a crowd of people rallying behind me saying, yes, listen to the words of Mighty Evangelist, and I'm going to turn around, I'm going to slap you all in the face. The other people I want to talk to are all of you lunatics who are implying that Hasbro are terrified of third-party toys, and that third-party toys are better than what Hasbro will ever offer. Number one, what are third-party toys doing for my fandom of Transformers Prime? Nothing! All right. That's out of the way. Number two, all you guys who aggressively run into these threads basically saying, like, yeah, well, Hasbro's on the way out, third party's here to stay, you guys are part of the big-ass problem that is making third-party toys come off as way the hell worse than they actually are, because you're running around more or less chanting that third-party toys are going to bring about the death knell of Hasbro, and suddenly, somehow, all these third-party companies are going to just walk into the abandoned Hasbro factories and start producing their stuff en masse, and Walmart's not going to notice, and then suddenly Transformers will be all third-party. You all are crazy, and both of you groups rising up in lieu of this story are making the atmosphere of discussion repugnant, and I find you both to be a very abhorrent pair of social circles, and you guys need to calm down and get over your crazy, self-inflated aggression, because you're nuts, and I don't like talking to you when you're nuts. So I had to share that for a second there, because that stuff was all over my social media, and it was gross. So I want it to go away. Or at least I want it to avoid me, because I don't like it. So now that I've offended two vocal minorities, anything else to add about this third-party squashing, other than what are the parts parties going to be like, and will there be enough rooms for them?
Yeah, and that headmaster I got last year was at a parts party.
Pretty black market,
because that's where the prices are actually reasonable.
Man,
they had some incredible deals in there. I tell you,
the G1 prices
a lot more in there.
Yeah, the G1 prices in the dealer room were crazy last year. Like, so there was good stuff, but there was some stuff that did not move, and I'm not surprised it did not move. Yeah, so this is a story which is it's far more multifaceted than some folks will have you believe, but it makes for some very interesting discussion, and especially now that that hammer that has been hovering for like the last 2.5-3 years has dropped, it'll be interesting to see the paradigm of the dealer room when it actually comes about. The paradigm of discussion, I'm sure, will remain as gross as it can possibly be for the longest time, but once we're actually seeing people, you know, physically in person, I want to see how stuff goes down. Both in the dealer room, in parts parties, and at that panel. And I just totally made it sound like parts parties are going to be these, like... No one really thinks third-party toys are all this kind of deep underground thing, and deep underground stuff draws interest, and now that it's all going to be in these, like confined to these secret parts parties, now third-party stuff is, like, literally becoming, like, this black market material at conventions. I think that's kind of funny. Like, this guy wandering in the dealer room with a large coat on going like, you wanna posable Springer? You come on down to room 735, you bring $85 with you, I got you, posable Springer. Mos Eisley of BotCon arising. Could be some fun times. Anyway, we also have pleasant BotCon news to talk about.
That's weird.
Let's talk about a little bit of that. We've got the final two pages of the BotCon 2012 comic prelude. This is where someone steps in and goes like, I thought you meant pleasant news. Ha ha ha. So the colors on these comic pages are still beautiful. I kind of don't get what's happening in these last two pages, but they go back to Transtech land, and then all these different Optimus Primes walk in, like G2 Hero Optimus Prime and the OTFCC guy with the little guy in his chest, and like Spy Changer Rid Prime, and some guy in the middle I don't recognize. They all show up, and they're all like, the negative universe is just setting up for the invasion of Shattered Glass. So they get to see a whole bunch of different Optimus Primes, which is kind of cool. That was the comic prequel. Did either of you guys have any additional thoughts on this stuff now that all six pages are available?
No, I don't care. it's just trying to make Shattered Glass interesting, and I can't possibly find it as interesting. And like with all the bad stuff that's been happening around BotCon, it's hard to get excited about anything anymore. So it just, I don't know. It's just like this whole BotCon is so tainted with all the negative stuff that's been going on. It's just like, ugh, I don't even want to look at this.
The colors are gorgeous.
Oh yeah, they're fantastic. Very professionally done.
Yeah.
And it kind of sucks that I'm probably coming off as like this total downer, sad sack, hater gonna hate. But I'm sorry, like with all this dumb stuff that's been going on with credit cards and everything else, it's like, what am I supposed to do? Just turn that off and be like, yay, this like offshoot second party unofficial fiction that does not interest me.
Like second party.
This glorified. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they are.
That's a can of worms right there.
And yeah, it's like, all right, well,
that can of worms,
you can't make me care about this.
That can of worms got discussed somewhere, because I saw some after discussion of it where it's like, retroactively, all that is done by an officially licensed company, regardless of what it is retroactively a licensed material. And I was like, man, this is getting like quantum physics now. We're like going to we're using time travel with IP licenses. That's crazy. We just need like a phone booth to drop down and like a British man to walk out and go like, wibbly wobbly, and then like throw screwdrivers at people.
Gummy baby.
Oh dear.
But yeah, no, just the whole Shattered Glass thing feels like a glorified fan fiction to me, and it always will.
Well,
I'm sorry to the people that like Shattered Glass. I don't think any less of you. It's just,
Well, you think
it couldn't be less interesting to me.
You think less of me, but for completely different reasons.
Yeah, well,
like it's not related to Shattered Glass. That would just be racist. You know, well thought out opinions and hypotheses.
Uh-huh.
Gog, how are you feeling about these last two comic pages?
I feel like Seth. It was like these came out and just like I was like, all right, I'm gonna, because we read the first two when we talked about them. The second two pages came out with the Even guys. Which I heard you guys talk about, I think, last time on 190.
Oh, Kimi. Whatever that means.
So, yeah. So, it's like, these came out, I think, today, and I'm like, you know, I want to make sure that I go through and read it so I have an opinion, but it's like, all the stuff that's gone on today, I just, like, I looked at the pictures. I can't get excited about it. I don't care. I don't care about the fiction. I've already pre-sold my BotCon box set. It's like, I don't care. And maybe that sounds totally irresponsible for me, because we're supposed to be covering this, but you know what? That's, you know, this is a show based on our opinions, and that's my opinion. Like, I don't care. And I try not to have that opinion as much as possible. I suck it up and at least try to form one, but that's my opinion on this. I don't care. The picture of all the primes looks cool. Like, the G2 Prime, like, that's, it looks neat. Like, it's good artwork. The colors are great. Like, it looks really neat. The subject material I have no interest in. I don't care. I'm not going to read the comic that comes with it, you know. Enjoy it, Mega Havoc. You know, I hope you love it, bro. I'm going to leave the comic in there just for you. I'm not even going to charge you for it. But that's a
not
going to
charge you for the free program guide that comes with my convention package.
Yeah. So
how charitable.
You know, I hope he likes it. I don't care.
You know how we've in past, whenever these things happen, we've always said, "Wow, it's a good thing that happened days before the podcast recording." The bulk of the discussion of the stuff we just talked about happened today. So this was also a case of some very unfortunate timing, I think. Because it is weighing the heaviest on minds right now. Not to say it wouldn't weigh on minds later, but this is like the epicenter of the worst time for this to come up. That said, the other positive bit of news is that we've got two more human real people who are actually worth getting extremely excited about getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And that being Simon Furman, because dude wrote a bunch of comic books for sure. And the other dude being Chris Latta, because the dude did a lot of good voice acting and then unfortunately died in 1994. I still think Chris Latta should have been in at the first one myself. I'm still happy he's in, but I was like, yeah, it's about time. Put the dude in to that Hall of Fame. His family will be there to accept the award. That is cool. His daughter is trying to get into the voiceover industry. She was at BotCon last year at the BotCon 2011 script reading. You know what I forgot to tweet about today in light of all this? I just realized I didn't say anything about the script reading. That would have gotten everyone lightened up.
It would have gone completely unnoticed amongst all the chaos.
Oh no, whenever I tweet about it on a really bad fun pub day, I always get a response. Because it's something that I'm really sure Pete and all those other guys would much rather talk about, which is kind of my way of trying to orient them into doing stuff with it sooner than later. Of like, man, stuff's going real bad, isn't it, Pete Sinclair and Fun Publications? Yeah, Brian Savage, what a horrible PR day. Everyone's getting mad and arguing about stuff. So you know what would be a real good break? Would be a real good change of pace? Get that BotCon 2011 script read out there. I bet everyone would forget about all this bad blood. And I mean, I know they wouldn't, but I want that script reading. So I'm not above using completely unsubtle manipulation now to try to make it come out. So you guys feeling okay about these Hall of Fame inductions of actual, I was about to say real living people, but that's horrible. I don't know why I almost said that. These inductions of actual people into the Hall of Fame. How you feeling about it, Gog?
Biological organics.
Biological organic beings.
Carbon-based peoples.
Humanities.
No, it's great. I mean, I agree that Chris Latta, I didn't even think about it either. Like, and I'll be honest, like, I haven't really put a lot of thought into the human stuff just because from the fans' point of view, leading up to BotCon, it's mostly kind of the whole fun time of trying to nominate characters to get in and all that, and because that's what we have the most interaction with as far as participation. Mm-hmm. So then when the human inductees come up, it always kind of blindsides me. I'm like, oh yeah, like that's going to happen. Like we're actually going to hear about that stuff before BotCon. So like when Chris Latta had been nominated, I was like, yeah, okay, that's awesome. Like that dude's awesome. So absolutely. I'm thrilled about that. I thought all the inductees that we had the first year in 2010 were great. Like all of them made sense. They were, it was a great group of people to have as your first group. Your first wave, if you will, of inductees. Last year I understood, like, it wasn't something that I felt emotionally behind, like Spielberg and Bay.
It was a time to do it though.
I mean, and it wasn't something I was going to argue with. Like, I'm not going to say that, oh, they don't deserve it. Because I understand from Hasbro's point of view of why it was done. Financially, they certainly helped bring in a rejuvenation to the brand, just strictly on a money level. And it's allowed Hasbro to do other things like Transformers Prime, kind of riding that wave. So regardless of how you feel about the movies, and I'm not the biggest fan of them, but at the very least, some of the other stuff that I've really enjoyed has come in based on what happened with those movies. So how are you going to argue with it? You know, and they're inducted. It's over. We're not going to have to deal with it anymore. Now we can do other stuff like induct Chris Latta. So yes, yeah. I'm really behind this and I think it's awesome. And I'm actually kind of maybe looking forward to seeing what they have to say about it, because this is going to be the first guest who is going to receive this honor posthumously. So
posthumously,
I'm going to edit that.
So, oh, wow.
I'm not. I'm tempted. I stand behind it.
I'm gonna edit that. Yeah.
But it's a good thing, and I think it's gonna be kind of a solemn moment. The ceremony.
I think, given the amount of time that passed, and the as far as I can tell, the really good nature of his family, I think it's, even though it'll be solemn in nature, I think it's gonna be a really happy reflection more so than a moment of silence kind of thing. Like that's the vibe, yeah, I'm getting.
I think it hinges on if his daughter comes out to accept it.
Yeah.
Then I could see it getting emotional, and that's fine. And you know, it's probably good. I mean, and I think it's great that he's getting in. I mean, this dude was a key voice in two of the biggest TV shows from my childhood. Like, these were shows that I watched and I had to tape and watch later every day because I had a paper route and that had to get done first. And then I would get home and watch Transformers and G.I. Joe on VHS. And he was in like every episode of both those things because he was such a key character in both. So yeah, it's great. It's too bad he can't be there himself. I think it would be really cool if his daughter was there, because, you know, it's the applause will be thunderous.
Oh, yes.
Because who doesn't love Chris Latta? I mean, come on.
The applause when she came out in 2011 script reading, I remember being pretty powerful. Like, yeah. People were like, who? And
yeah, I think it would be a cool thing for her to receive on her father's behalf.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's great. And then, like, not to diminish Simon Furman, because, you know, he created so much of the fiction himself. And yeah, it's great that he's finally getting in.
I thought he was already in, to be honest. Like, he's another one of those guys where I just assumed, like, when I saw his name on this news story, I was like, he's not in? Okay, well, get that done. Get him in.
Yeah, so I think it's really good.
Hmm.
And now it's actually something involved in the Hall of Fame that makes me want to go.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking, skip it this year because, I don't like, how some of this stuff went down. I'm going to talk about that for a second because, the whole thing about Skybike getting in, TFW's very own Foster Lager Like, because I tried to ask Pete via Twitter, how did this voting, how did the numbers break down? Like, where did Skybyte actually place as opposed to Swindle and anything else? Foster Logger went around all the sites and counted up the results himself. Skybyte didn't only come in after Swindle. He also came in after Unicron.
Oh,
Unicron and Swindle were tied based on Foster's count. So not only did they skip Swindle, they skipped Unicron.
I would not have cared much for Unicron being in it myself. I'm not going to lie.
Well, at least Unicron got more votes.
Yeah.
And that's an actual People's Choice choice.
Well, this is all...
They should rename it the People's Suggestion.
This is all pretty much illustrated that the voting of all this stuff is an implication of what we would like to see happen and nothing actually of hard numerical value, I think.
It's the People's Suggestion.
Yeah.
So, forget. I'm not voting. I'm abstaining. I'm not taking part in it. And I couldn't care less. So, that's all I got to say about that.
I'm still kind of riding my minor aggro on Wheeljack. That's all I got.
I accomplished what I wished.
Yeah, you came out like that. That was a win.
Yeah, lots of people were like, "Oh, Minerva's not in it. You must feel for that." No, I said from the beginning, I wanted to get her in the TFW top five. That's all I cared about. So. I'm happy. Mission freaking accomplished, brothers.
Did you have anyone come at you like without hearing what you were saying and assuming you were mad and going like, "So I bet you're pretty mad your stupid Minerva didn't get in." Like, did you get any of that pre-aggro, or were you pretty safe?
No, it's mostly people, I think, just joking around. Like, right. Whatever. I don't care. It's fine. Team Minerva, we won in our hearts.
That is the whole point of the character vote thing, is that is the whole point of it. That's why I'm so glad more people have caught on that Wheeljack is a scoundrel.
And guess what? In the end, now that we know that to some degree our choices only carry so much weight regardless of how many votes they get, it just opens it up for even more ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Because in the end, guess what? If it doesn't matter, we can do whatever we want and have as much fun as we want. So I look forward to 2013.
2013, I want us to just nominate every character who's had at least 5 to 10 different iterations across fictions so we can see what kind of crazy bios they get written up for. Like, I want to see the RC bio get taken to the next insane level. Like, let's nominate Beast Wars Prowl and see if they give him a separate listing from G1 Prowl. Anyway, all that stuff aside, let's do some new pick picks, guys. I want to talk about some new pick stuff. There are also some newer, other new picks that are going to get their own topic. So if you don't hear them right away, you know, don't freak out. Just sit down. If you're already sitting down, lie down. Seth, what's a new pick you'd like to share with us today?
I feel that it is my duty to keep promoting third-party toys.
Well, I'm not going to argue
so
that.
Ever.
Now more than ever.
More than ever.
Now more than ever.
More than before. Three times as much.
Three times
actually,
three is nine.
I don't know. Third party.
ninth party.
That is some meta stuff you're talking about, man. I'm going to go close my window.
Party cube.
It smells like burning epoxy glue in here, and I don't know why, so I'm going to go close my window. You guys just keep going.
Party cube to be 27th party.
Yeah. That's a hell of a party. That's a lot of kegs. Mastermind Creations, Night Morpher Seekers. These things look ridiculous in the, oh my God, I love how ridiculous this is sort of way. I don't know what these plain modes are supposed to be. They're like crazy knife planes with three propellers, so they're prop planes made of like bat wings and knives. Vehicle modes look nuts.
Hearts of steel, man. Hearts of steel.
Yeah, but
only not.
they don't even look like steampunk except for the props. they're bananas. robot modes are cool. Like, I like the big Gatling guns on the arms. That's cool. More sharp jaggedies. Maybe the wings stick out a little too far, but that just might be a limitation of engineering. But yeah, they're like crazy cool looking. Like, I'm sure they're going to be really expensive, but I just love how ridiculous they are.
I'm going to guess they'll be maybe around $80. Cause I mean, they're Mastermind stuff. So you think Nightmare for Commander. And I hope that, like, I'm actually kind of looking forward to them. Cause if Mastermind, we're going to know once Hexatron and the Shockwave Steamboat come out. But if Mastermind have stayed with their quality up that they got from the Annihilator, I think that those things could be really cool.
Oh man, I just noticed in the picture of the robot modes, they all have different guns.
Oh,
so the Starscream has Gatling guns. The Skywarp has like a two-barreled cannon, and Thundercracker's guns looked, they look more like a, I don't know, they actually look kind of more like laser guns, but. At least from this angle, maybe they'll look more like single barrel machine guns from a different angle. But I mean, that's cool that they have different arm weapons.
Yeah.
And then like whenever you're dealing with the Seekers, it's always kind of a situation where you would want all three, but like at third party prices. If I were to get any, I would probably only just get one.
Which one?
That's the rough part.
Yeah, that's why I might just end up getting all three.
Yeah, that's the rough part. And it also kind of depends on how big these things are.
Yeah.
But it might, I don't know. I would probably go Starscream just because he's the number one guy. But then my very first Transformer toys ever, I got Skywarp and Thundercracker on the same day, so. I don't know.
I think you should just get all
Starscream has the Gatling guns.
But yeah, these look pretty cool. And they were on display at a pretty neat event where, you know, you got to see a whole bunch of upcoming Mastermind stuff. This huge push Mastermind is doing to get their stuff out there, I'm really hoping will shape up into something good, because I like their aesthetic and I like what they try to do. I'm hoping all this stuff pans out really nicely. Guess sadly we will not see any at BotCon, even though, you know, this stuff really does it enriches the hobby by paying homage to an aesthetic that we do not see very often. You know, Hearts of Steel. That's something that's not going to get respected for quite a while. So good on you, Mastermind Creations. Gog, have you got a new pick?
Yeah, I was going to go with that because I like Hearts of Steel. So, but it's cool. But, and I'm actually conflicted about whether I'm going to get that or not, but I think it might have to do with, how well Cyclops turns out. Cause I don't have any Mastermind Creation stuff yet. So I passed on the Nightmare for, I think it's actually the second version of Nightmare for Commander, with the new molding differences, is getting re-released in the original Prime colors, right?
I heard from someone that they bought a Prime colored Nightmorpher that had all the Annihilator improvements, so it's in circulation.
Okay,
now,
okay, because I knew that was coming out, so I might be tempted by that, but I have Cyclops pre-ordered because he went up for pre-order I think last week, but if I'm impressed with him, I might take a look at picking up that Starscream, but we'll see. I think it's going to depend on my impressions of that. But my own new pick is the Zilvergen crossover gen trailer force.
Back with a vengeance.
Zilvergen. of trailer force, trailer armor for Classics Prime that is apparently Power Master armor. Now, the article on this says further images. Have we seen pictures of this in anything else other than vehicle mode before? Because this is the first I've heard about it.
There are robot mode images.
Do you know where those are?
They are right here in the Skype chat.
Okay, because I haven't seen this for some reason. Have we talked? Numbered guys talk about this?
No, we all heard about this, but with the lack of pictures and with it being Zavargan, we all kind of just ignored it.
Oh, wow. This looks kind of neat.
Yeah.
What is that truck mode? Like in the front, what is that? That's not Classics Prime.
That's one of the top pictures have Henke Prime, and then the bottom pictures have G1 Power Master Prime. So this thing works with Classics Henke Prime or with Jinrai, basically.
Okay, so but what do you do with Jinrai with the Classics Prime?
Well, you use one or the other. So like here, let me link you a picture.
Right, but so, it comes with its own little Jinrai. Where does he go?
Oh, it comes with its own little Jinrai?
I thought so. Yeah, it's a great. In the new pictures we got today. Here, I'll link it. It's a.
Hey, Zavergin, make this clearer.
Copy. See here, look at this. It shows the original Jinrai or Hi-Q next to a gray proto of their version.
Oh, I missed that there was a new one.
So, where does the new one go?
The new. It looks like the new one straps onto the front of.
Yeah. Weird. Is it? There's no port on the front of Henke or Classics Prime.
There's stuff up there. I'm sure that they might have figured out a way to just have it adapt around angles and things.
There's a grill, yeah. So I'm curious. I'm
very tentatively curious because this thing looks
been
awesome.
I would have been more prepared, except for the fact that I didn't. For some reason, I missed those robot mode pictures. I didn't even know those existed. So now I'm kind of at a loss because I don't know what to say.
They popped up
because I need
really
to look
fast.
More into this. Yeah,
like out of nowhere. And also, like when they're using Jinrai, you can also see that God Bomber has some functionality with this guy as well. And Zavergin, I forgot I was following them. They popped up on Twitter out of nowhere to basically ask their buyer base, hey, what do you guys think we should do in regards to God Bomber?
Oh, the robot mode pictures only came up yesterday, so that's why I missed it. This came up yesterday, and somehow I missed it. So, okay.
So, this thing is really interesting to me, but in a somewhat different level. I mean, it looks cool, but my question is this going to, like, get, like, Zavergin, crossover gen, whatever.
Zavergin.
Their reputation sucks right now because they put out the much maligned G.I. Joe vehicle Optimus Prime that nobody liked.
The Rolling Thunder, yeah.
Yeah, which was sold for $100 and by all accounts was a great $40 toy, even taking into account third party everything. Like it just didn't pan out. So a lot of people are looking at this going like, this looks awesome, but the guy's making it. I don't know. So I'm looking at this prototype and I'm seeing a lot of stuff here that I do not. Like, I don't have their Rolling Thunder Prime, but I don't recognize some of the engineering on this from that Prime, like the way that they've done the hip joints and the shoulder joints and
yeah,
the
picture with him in the wide battle stance, namely this picture here, that looks awesome. So
yeah,
I'm going to be looking at this, and I'm going to be reading reviews of this.
I am going to as well, because much like Mastermind Creations, every company, I'm willing to give any third-party company that does cool-looking stuff, I'll give them 2 tries easily.
Because like, I love the design of God Jinrai or Power Master Prime. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome, but I'm in the minority of people who like G1 and think that toy is just ugly as hell. I see Power Master Prime in person and I have no intention of buying it. If I had seen the Hasbro release that came out like whatever 6-8 years ago, if for retail, I probably would have picked it up at retail price, but I don't really have any desire to pay much more than that, and I just assume not own it. But when you take something that takes those concepts with modern day engineering, like if they were to release MP10 with retooling and Power Master armor, I'd be all about it because that's what I'm interested in. I want the Power Master Prime design with modern engineering, but that big headed thing that people love, and that's cool. Like I think on 190, like one of the listener questions was, if you could save one toy, what would it be? Aaron said Power Master Prime. Like, and I think that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just
misguided and wrong. But it's
just for me personally, it doesn't do it for me. Even though I love that design. Like I love the look of God Jinrai in Master Force.
Well,
like,
Power Master Prime has always gotten a free pass from a lot of people, including myself, for this one specific reason, which is that there are a lot of us who had that toy as our Optimus Prime while we were watching G1. So it has that extra tie that makes a lot. Like, I mean, I do think that it's a flawed toy, and I really liked that the Kabaya kit took liberties to make it look better by like shrinking the head and stuff. But,
it just has. I think if the head was just smaller,
yeah,
the head is huge. It's got a noggin, but yeah, But this, yeah, I want to see how this turns out. Yeah.
Me too.
Just, yeah. If this was being made by, say, Fans Project or Mastermind, this would be a pre-order. But the fact that it's Zilvergen means I'm going to need to get some in-hand impressions of this first, because this is going to be expensive.
Oh yeah.
So, and I'm not going to give that to a company that has only, and I'm not ruling them out. Because, like, even take Mastermind Creations. Like, exactly. The first version of Nightmare for Commander was mediocre at best. And I, even my own friends, namely you and Seth, had some kind of iffy first impressions of it. But seeing what they've done since then has impressed me that of the steps they're willing to take to improve their own product. Mm-hmm. So if it turns out these guys are willing to do the same thing, I'm on board.
And I hope they are, because they are, I mean, they're active on Twitter. They have been tweeting about this thing, and seeing that social media outreaching to me is the sign of a company that wants to do better. So I'm hoping that this will be their Nightmare for Annihilator, where they show that, hey, guess what? We screwed up that first one. We're going to do better. That's what I'd love to see. I'm going to talk about a first party aping a third party, namely Takara Tomy's Arms Micron Prime Toys ripping off Repro Labels shtick. So for those who don't know, the Prime RID toys coming out in Japan are called Arms Micron. Instead of coming with a weapon, they're going to come with a customized, really cool-looking Micron or Minicon. Whole bunch of really cool-looking Minicon designs in there. Also, to get their costs down, the Minicon will basically be a small model kit that you have to assemble, and the toys will be missing tons of paint apps, and instead of paint apps, they will have stickers. This has led to some contention. I have some of these on pre-order, because those Microns look really good, and I like Prime design, so I'm going to take the risk. One of the ones I have on pre-order, we got close-up pictures of a whole bunch of them from Cybertron Con over in Singapore, but I just want to talk about Ratchet. So first I'm going to share a picture of Ratchet's robot mode in close-up. Specifically, I want to point out the red stickers on his pectorals and how they have that stupid thing I hate about stickers that go around rounded objects, where they clearly have tons of little ridges cut into the sides meant to make them kind of wrap around the curved object, but instead just making them look totally frayed up and really cheapo. Also, he seems to be missing all the red stickers that recently showed up on his legs in a recent solicit from a magazine, which is kind of a bummer. So I'm looking at this going like, okay, well, I mean, at least he has the heartbeat symbols. Those are new, and those stickers look okay, but those red stickers look pretty dire. So then I thought, well, I'll go look at his vehicle mode, because, you know, that's where the big improvement is, because the Japanese version has the heartbeat symbol on the side that the American one doesn't. It sure does. However, I just want to point out, if you guys can take a look at this picture, look at his front headlights and front grille. You know, things that are actually sculpted on the toy. And you'll notice that they have a giant 80s style cheapo, cheapest of cheap sticker just flatly laid over top of all that sculpted detail, with it kind of inked on in the form of lions. That's like, that's Kabaya level stuff. That's candy toy level stuff. That looks horrible.
Now, I thought you were saying that being like little kits you have to put together, and the stickers were for the Minicons, but that's with the full-blown figure?
The full-blown figures, to save on money, are having paint apps replaced with stickers, which is not an inherently bad idea.
They're fully assembled, right? No, yeah, they're fully assembled. It is a bad idea.
It's an awful idea.
Stickers suck.
If they were going to do it like Repro Labels, if they're going to do it like Repro Labels, I'd have said, all right, if you're going to do it to the point of quality where the stickers are built to fit on the toy, that's okay. But seeing that front headlight, front grille sticker has, like, taken my waning faith in Arms Micron and smashed its face against the wall. And it doesn't help. Now, that's the one thing. Also, look at his light bar sticker. That's also horrible. Now, you see those dark gray lumps all over the vehicle mode? You can see about four of them here. There's one on his door. Yes. There's a round one. There's two on the top. I've talked about this before, those are the additional moldings to allow microns to attach the vehicle mode. And if you'll notice, the gray rectangular one is literally the same piece copied and pasted onto his vehicle mode in random places. Ratchet, aside from having some of the worst stickers I've seen on Arms Micron so far, also has, much like Terracon Cliff Jumper, some of the most awful placement of those Minicon ports, where they literally just look like they were glued onto an existing vehicle, and like they aren't even painted white. They stick out like not just a sore thumb, but like bleeding, bruised purple thumb on a totally healthy person, perhaps even an attractive, totally healthy person. So, I'm looking forward to getting this toy in hand. I got him on pre-order at HLJ. I'm looking forward to doing the video review of him and the other three Arms Micron toys I pre-ordered, and I sadly probably look forward to not buying any more Arms Micron and paying way too much on the aftermarket for those Minicons, because this stuff looks horrible, man. Like, Skywarp looks okay, but this Ratchet is, like, awful, and I really hope he is a special case bottom barrel execution of this concept.
Well, to rebut your assertion about stickers not being terrible, I mean, with retro labels, that's optional. That's your choice to buy them and put them on. When it's provided and that's the only option, or you just don't have anything there at all, that's never good. It's awful. And it's my only real beef with bot shots. Because, like, I have all my bot shots sitting on my desk, and I'll just be sitting here, and I'll pick one up and be fiddling with it. And I'm spitting around the little rock, paper, scissory kind of part. And on some of them, I could feel the edges of the stickers.
And well,
it's a bummer.
That leads me to my next fear. Are those stickers going to be on a sheet that I at least get to apply myself, or are they going to be factory-applied stickers, which are historically the worst stickers, because they're glued on, often crookedly, and the glue is completely set by the time the toy arrives at your house. So, yeah, Arms Micron went from looking like, well, maybe the stickers would be, like, additional Repro label kits, to, like, I guess the ones where I can't tell what the stickers are look good in pictures, but Ratchet looks horrible! He's like, He looks like everything you could do wrong with stickers are happening on Ratchet. So, that's a bummer. The bright side, it means I don't have to think about Arms Micron. Right after Arms Micron had me all pumped, going, oh man, Minicons. It just took a nosedive. And then I was even alright with the sticker thing for a little while. Then I see this. Gross. I can't wait to see what Knockout looks like. Because I've got the other Arms Microns I'm getting are Knockout, Breakdown, and Soundwave. So I'm curious to see how that turns out. I'm just, you know, I'm doing it for the people. That's why I'm buying them. So I can, you know, product review them and let other people know. That's right. So I can let other people. And you know what? I'm also buying the PRID versions anyway, so I can compare them. And then people can see, you know, what are you getting for that extra money by going Japanese? You know, he can
I'm getting heartache.
Look forward to it soon. I'm doing it for the people. That's why I do it.
Yeah, okay, wait. Now they're doing this to save money. Okay. So the Japanese decided we're gonna save some money. We're not gonna do paint apps.
The
we're
Japanese do as stickers. A people.
Yeah. They collectively decided. Because that's how they roll. We're going to save money, stickers, not paint. And, you know, dummies in North America and Western Europe are going to pay way more than the Hasbro versions to get your cost-cutting stickers. You're paying more for this version of Ratchet, and you're going to have terrible, awful stickers that are going to peel whether you like it or not. No matter how hard you try to save them, they're eventually going to start peeling and they're going to look even worse. And, you know, years will have passed and you kind of start regretting your decisions because you're not really all that attached to the Minicons anyway. So, you know, that's going to go out the window and you're going to get very depressed and maybe borderline suicidal.
Yes,
all because of these, you paid extra for these stupid, awful stickers.
So you know, look,
that you're going to have to buy again from Repro Labels in 5 to 10 years.
Look,
you're
going to
buy stupid stickers twice.
Look forward to the video review coming soon on Vangelist.ca. You know, we're going to have a real good time getting these Japanese exclusive toys, and you know, I'm doing it for the people.
Well, I hope you make enough money back from the ads to justify this terrible miscalculation.
an awful decision that he made.
His Mini-Con turns into a knife.
Well, you know, and that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
And maybe they should sell the Mini-Con separately.
There's a, I think, a good, like, you know, decent betting chance that all these Mini-Cons will eventually be available through Gashapon machines later on down the road, you know, rendering my decision to purchase subpar versions of Deluxes completely null and void.
And I'm going to be more tempted to buy them just so I could say that I have them and I don't have a Ratchet with stupid, awful, peeling stickers.
Well, you know, I'm a Ratchet completionist because he's Jeffrey and Combs.
Dumb gray blocks.
And you know, those gray blocks, you know, they're really stupid. But I like Ratchet. And so anyway, Singapore had this Cybertron Con where they had the equivalent of a Hasbro new product panel, only they let people take as many pictures as they want. So we got all kinds of news out of this Singapore Cybertron Con. They also, that's where they displayed the Arms Micron toys with all of their, you know, high quality Nihonjin no Stika Tachi. So we got some news bits out of this. Number one, Amazon Japan is going to exclusively receive a Sunstorm version of the new Masterpiece Starscream coming out, with exclusive Sunstorm-colored coronation gear and flames and things. So, Sunstorm is a toy design color scheme that shows up here and there. I kind of like it, but I've never actually owned one because it's always available somewhere in a manner which is just annoying or expensive enough for me to not actually buy it. But how do you guys feel about Masterpiece Sunstorm? Are either of you going to... I mean, I don't... Are either of you going to go for this?
No. No.
No, not really.
I didn't think so.
I mean, I think it's neat. If it was more of a widespread release, that I might consider it. But
the Amazon thing.
The fact, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, isn't this going to be... I'd read earlier that it's going to be limited to like 1,000 pieces or something.
Yeah, and you have to get a Japanese address to order it and all that.
I mean, you could do a middleman, but it's I'm not. I mean, I haven't a hard enough time justifying probably rebuying the Starscream.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I like this. The Masterpiece Starscream mold is one of my favorite molds. And there were certainly some tweaks that I wish had been done. You know, I'm not a big fan of the samurai stuff, but with that aside, I've always really loved it. And I think every design tweak that they've made to this retool is an improvement. So if it's like, you know, I don't know. It's I've gone back and forth in my head of whether I would get it, and I've just assumed, say, like, yeah, I'll probably at least get Starscream because I think it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see myself dishing out for like this uber exclusive Sunstorm version myself.
Yeah. Let's move on from there to something that is a million times more interesting.
Well, I just want to say one other thing. Like, I like the Sunstorm color scheme. I missed it the first time it was made available as a repainted a G1 Seeker reissue. And I got super excited when the opportunity came back around again when they redid it or re-released it. As I think it was an eHobby exclusive, or at least one of the releases, I think was an eHobby exclusive. So I jumped on it when it came back around. I like the off-market Seekers, Sunstorm and Acid Storm or Acid Trip, whatever his name is. But yeah, for Masterpiece land, I'm not interested in getting multiples of any Masterpiece mold. So especially if you're going to have to jump through these kind of hoops to actually get your hands on it.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to a way more interesting Starscream. That being the, to me, extremely surprising reveal of one of the generations of 2013's first wave deluxes, Fall of Cybertron Starscream. This guy is not coming out anytime soon, but given the development cycle of Transformers, he is able to be displayed at conventions like this. I think, just of the glancing look we have at him, it looks like the engineering of 2013 is going to be pretty decent and okay. He's got double jointed elbows, and he has joints, and he has a jet mode, and it looks kind of like the one from Fall of Cybertron, which is helpful because the one from Fall of Cybertron has enough chunky stuff in the back to kind of accommodate all the mass of his robot mode. So I think it kind of works, but it's kind of cool to see one of the vaunted 40 generations toys of 2013 already in its prototype form. So, Gog, I've got to ask you, as a Starscream guy, how do you feel about the look of this thing?
It looks good for what it is. I'd want to compare it. Again, now that I think about it, I wish I had already, but I'd like to compare this thing side by side to the game model, because I remember having some issues with the Starscream design from the game. I think some other ones of us besides me did as well when we had the
a little powwow.
Yeah, I mean, I know we talked about it leading up to it, and then we actually had a whole supplemental for the game. But that aside, looking at the robot mode here, it actually looks pretty good. I think my biggest problem with it was like the legs, but the legs in this look a little better than I remember seeing in the game. So I don't know if the proportions have changed for, in my opinion, the better. But either way, looks like a good toy. Mm-hmm. The double jointed elbows and such, and it looks good. It looks like the transformation is fairly intricate. So it's definitely a easy purchase for me. But yeah, so far it looks good. I look forward to seeing it in color.
Yeah, and Seth, how are you feeling about the FOC Starscream?
Well, I think some of the proportions look a little odd. Like the hands seem kind of huge, and something about the chest and head just looks a little off to me. But it could also be that this is a picture of a picture projected on a screen at a little bit of an angle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to pass too harsh judgment on a gray prototype picture taken in this manner. I'll wait to see more. But I really think it's cool that they're making more War for Cybertron toys at all. So even if it was a little lacking, it's still really cool that it's even happening.
Yeah, and as late as next spring. Like,
yeah,
to me, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's going to be way after the game has been out.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the game coming out this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's coming out, what, fall this year, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be at least 3 or 4 months after the fact. So, I mean, it's cool because, I mean, I like it because it's a branch of the fiction that you usually don't get toys from. Yeah. I mean, really, any branch of the fiction aside whatever the current cartoon show is, doesn't get toys. Hardly ever. So whenever any other branch gets toys, I'm at least interested. I'm at least glad that it's happening, even if it's something I'm not interested in personally.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, the games are something I'm interested in, so all the better.
All right, and moving on to other deluxes that we had never seen before, there was also just a giant whack of things that were revealed out of nowhere. The first two things not being things that will be difficult to get, hopefully. We got to see Wave 5 of Prime RID. Again, to me, out of nowhere. This is Sergeant Cup and Rumble. Sergeant Cup, I think pretty obviously, to me at least, like given the Cyberverse toy that we saw, looks like he is a new head redeco of the Prime design for Ironhide. Both these pictures, by the way, are similar, like somewhat clear photo taken at a canted angle on a projector screen, so it's kind of hard to make out a lot of the details. Rumble is a blue car. He totally has his laser pile drivers, and he also has, like, a whole lot of car for shoulder pads. Like, shoulder pads that are about as big as his body, which is weird. And then, so out of nowhere, some more Prime designs. And I mean, Prime's toy line so far seems to be a very let's-do-stuff-that's-in-the-show toy line, so maybe these guys are going to show up in the show. I don't know. I think they both look, like, for Prid Deluxes, I mean, they both look okay. I don't feel like I'd be opposed to purchasing either of them, even given Rumble. Like, Rumble's shoulder pads are so crazy, I'm starting to kind of go from thinking they're dumb to kind of liking them. But again, these are guys, like, we haven't seen anything of these guys other than these pictures, so there's only so much I can say. Seth, how are you feeling about these Prid Deluxes?
I think it's curious. I think Cup looks pretty good in robot mode. The truck mode does look way too much like Ironhide. And then even the robot mode, like with the way the arm cannons are, it's like, oh, that just feels like it just brings up too many feelings of movie Ironhide. Which is kind of unfortunate, even though, you know, I think it also doesn't not look like Cup. So, yeah, I think it's all right. I'd like to see a better picture of the face, because that's what's really going to sell it on me being Cup or not, is how the face comes out. And it's just not getting good enough look for my personal taste here. He also doesn't seem, at least not in this picture, the colors could be off because of the conditions it was taken under, but that truck looks way too green and not turquoise, which is, I want my Cup to be turquoise. Rumble, I think, is a really curious idea, or yeah. But those shoulder pads, eesh. It almost looks like his torso almost looks like a weird face. It looks like he's got eyes and a weird mouth or a chest. But, yeah, it's like, I want to like the Rumble so much, but the shoulder pads are a bummer. Like, I think his legs look cool. The arms are cool with the pile drivers, but then you just have these giant car hunks. So hopefully there's some way to position his arms and maybe kind of finagle those around to not look as bad. Yeah, like both of these are almost really awesome. they're almost really awesome.
You know what would fix them up is some stickers. That's what they need.
Yeah.
Get on big, that to car
peeling stickers. Yeah, wait till the arms micron versions of these come around.
For the sake of the fan base, you know, and so everyone, you know, I can get the information out there. Maybe I will.
Yeah, that windshield and on his shoulders is going to be stickers.
The entire top canopy of the car that forms the shoulder pads will just be folded paper to save on costs.
It's going to cost three times as much.
Gog, how are you feeling about these new Prime toys?
Yeah, I feel much the same as Seth when it comes to that Rumble. It's like, what is going on? Like, I'm hoping that something is mistransformed there, because this figure has so much potential, but how can you justify just having the top half of the car sitting up there like that? Like, how far have we come?
Maybe those are his eyes. Like, just two giant red eyes made from...
He has six eyes. He's got, like, the two on the robot head, the two on his chest, and then two giant eyes on his shoulders.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, we'll see. But that's a bummer, because... I mean, I like the car mode. Like, it's this little subcompact car. Like, I can dig that. Like, I'm fine. I like everything else about Rumble, but wow, what is that on his shoulders? It's just, there's got to be something wrong. I don't know. But
what's great is the first time I looked at that robot mode, I actually mentally blocked those out, because his pose just, I didn't see them, because his pose is so natural. And then I was like, wait, what's that on the top? Oh, that's not from a different picture. That's from that toy. Okay. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. But you know what the best part about Rumble is? He's blue like he's supposed to be.
Yeah. I see red. Rumble.
Yeah,
I see some red on there.
Red.
He's red and blue. He's red and blue.
He's primarily blue.
I don't know, man. Those giant red shoulder things are pretty big. I mean, that kind of balances out a lot of the...
But it's blue. You guys are going to have to deal with the fact that Rumble is blue.
Moving on. So I got into, thanks to Seth and thanks to New York Comic Con, I've gotten into 16bit.com. You know, Adam Paulus. Adam Paulus really hates Asia-exclusive Transformers, I've noticed. Between him and Phil Reed of Battle Grip, the two of them, I believe, did not much like the whole notion of, look at all the Asia-exclusive stuff that we're going to show you at the American New York Comic Con. So, in Asia, they showed off even more Asia-exclusives. Asia is basically just getting this gigantic whack of stuff that would have been awesome late-game generations. Starting off on the lower end, some pretty obvious redecos of a bunch of the G1-styled Legends toys that ended Reveal the Shield. They're all going to have weapons, too. That's kind of cool. I dig that. And then you move on. All of a sudden, the ROTF Scouts return. Like, my favorite subline of Transformers of the last 3 years is going to come back redecoed as G1 characters. I think that's kind of awesome. And I think a bunch of these can kind of work. If you want to see what these all are, there's a whole bunch of these. Basically, there's four per price point, and I really don't want to, like, name all of them, because it's a whole bunch of naming. Just go check it out. There's some cool stuff. Laserbeak from Skystalker. It's perfect. Then you go into deluxes. At this point, all of a sudden, the Asia exclusives, to me, become very attractive, because every single one of these things has new heads. And what's really cool is the PowerPoint slides actually specify whether it's a new head sculpt or the existing but unused alternate head sculpt, which I think is a really cool bit of clarification. Some of these are also crazy. Like, they're going to take first edition Prime Cliffjumper and give him a G1 head to make him into G1 Cliffjumper. That sounds like a Radicon kitbash idea that I would recommend against, but I want to see how it turns out. So that one, at least that's Cliffjumper to Cliffjumper. I get it. That's cool. There's some other cool stuff in here. I mean, G1 Swerve getting some love. That's out of nowhere. And I need Wheelie. But then we go into the Voyagers. Again, a whole bunch of dudes getting new heads. Some cool ideas that are some very logical ideas and some crazy ideas. And then first edition Bulkhead from Prime getting given a G1 Brawn head and being called G1 Brawn. Again, that sounds like a custom idea someone wanted to do that I would have told them probably won't work, but I want to see how it turns out. All these Asia exclusives with all their new heads are things I really want to see in person, because I love watching Transformer toys get the redeco plus new head treatment, because it can be so transformative to a lot of these designs. And a bunch of these new heads are going to be new heads that were not designed back when the toy was designed. So it's kind of exciting to me, and I kind of want to order the Deluxes and Voyagers somehow. Then moving into the leader assortment, it's kind of boring, because it's just leader Starscream and leader Ironhide from Dark of the Moon, but in G1 colors, which I used to think that was going to be cool, but I kind of fell out of love with it once I saw it a few times, seeing movie designs in G1 colors. So it's kind of, that's not interesting me much, but those four Deluxes, four Voyagers, those eight toys, I kind of want those, and I might end up ordering them. I think all of these redeco ideas, though, they either work or they are so crazy that I really want to buy them just to see what they're like. So I don't really have any other specific ones here to really draw from, but GOG, out of these the pseudo generations line that only Asia is getting, what's grabbing your eye here?
Well, that's the crazy part. It's like, I mean, I kind of understood it when they said that they were going to do this for the movie stuff. It's like, well, this stuff was already in the works, and we've kind of decided at the last minute that we're just not going to have a market for it or available space for it or whatever reason in North America, so we can just send it to the Asian market because we think it'll still sell okay over there. But like, these are all brand new toy concepts that haven't even been finalized and created yet, apparently. That are going over there. So it's just like, that's kind of strange, and that's fine. Like, I'm not whining. I'm not saying that I'm entitled as an American to get these, but I mean, most of these I wouldn't buy anyway, so whatever. But, like this whole concept now of there being entire giant waves that are possibly never even planned on being released over here. That's kind of nuts, but it's interesting at the same time. And I look forward to seeing what this means for stuff like this, because this is almost like Universe 3.0,
kind of
not released here in a way. Yeah. So, but some of this stuff is nuts. Like, It's like, oh, Springer from Tomahawk. I can see that. Mm. If of all these, I think that might be the one that interests me the most, because seeing that Tomahawk mold in the Springer colors, I never thought about that.
I have to see Wheelie out of Jazz. That's crazy.
I don't get that. That doesn't even sound appealing to me. And what's weird, too, is if you remember back in the days of the Hasbro Q&A sessions, I specifically remember them saying something about they had an idea for Wheelie. So I wonder if this was it, or if that idea just got scrapped and never saw the light of day, and they just decided to go with some wacky-ass repaint. So I don't know, but, oh God, I don't know, man.
It's Wheelie with, like, because Jazz has some really, like, just nice superheroic proportions, which are completely foreign to everything I think of when I think of Wheelie.
Yeah, it just doesn't work in my brain.
Wheelie with a hood chest, man. Yeah, crazy.
No, I don't know. It's going to be funny to see it. So we'll see what happens.
But Cliff Jumper from Cliff Jumper. That's the one where when I first saw this listing,
that is strange. That's almost like putting a G1 head on an animated body.
Yeah, I thought this was a hoax from 4chan. I seriously thought this was trolling when I saw Cliff Jumper out of Cliff Jumper.
This is almost like that G1RC head that they made for the animated body, I think it was.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like what? It's like, that's two different aesthetics. Like, how does that even work? So, I don't know. This all seems crazy. Like, the only, like, the swerve, it's like, whatever. It's, you know, but it's like the Springer, as far as the deluxes go, that's kind of neat. Going on to the Voyagers, like, Hotspot. Like, okay. Yeah.
Obvious.
That's kind of cool. And I like that mold. I would probably get it if it was released here. Megatron from Revenge of the Fallen. I think it was... I had this thought, too. But I saw a Gerotimus tweet. Like, that's kind of even more ridiculous than Overlord. And I was like, yeah, like...
But you know what's crazy about that? The robot mode... If they do this and give it the right kind of Megatron head, the robot mode will be an homage to friggin' Alternity Megatron.
I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. Because
the robot mode's going to look like it, with the sword and the skirts. Like,
I don't know.
It's not important that the robot mode is a robot samurai. It's that it's a tank. That is the only thing that's important.
And that's true, because that's what they're showing right next to this.
Like Overlord.
Yep. Yeah, you're exactly right, Seth. Unfortunately, because right next to this, they're showing pictures of the.
That's kind
of
rude. Unfortunately, I'm right.
In this case, yeah, it's a horrible choice.
Hey, but look at Brawn. Look at G1 Brawn.
I can kind of see the G1 Brawn head working on that body.
With that chest, though? I mean, like, that's not Brawn's chest.
But Brawn has this weird, doofy kind of dome head that I could see working in the Prime aesthetic almost, but...
Well, in the Prime aesthetic, but they're... I think they want to make a full-on G1 Brawn head out of...
Right, but I'm saying, I think his G1 head matches the body more than G1 Cliff Jumper matches the other Cliff Jumper.
I guess, but man, like, Bulkhead looks... like not a classics toy in so many ways that are outside of his head. It's hilarious.
It's just
nothing about that physical form, that robot form, invokes Brawn whatsoever.
And Brawn's going to be a Voyager.
Supposedly the head will. Right. And supposedly the head will then have something that resembles Brawn. But now look at that body and imagine Brawn's color scheme on it. So gray chest with green arms and legs, or a tan chest with green arms and legs. It's that shape. I don't know, man.
This whole thing is really, really strange.
I love it.
Yeah.
I can understand why it's not being released here, but at the same time, it's like, what is going through anyone's mind with any of this?
So much of this stuff would end up shelf warming so hard that I love it's getting a chance to happen somewhere where perhaps it won't. Because... Yeah. Some of this stuff I gotta order just because it's ludicrous. Like, Robot Kingdom, I'm gonna be staring at to see what these cost when they come out. Because all of these things, except for maybe Power Dive, are kept, like, out of the Voyagers and Deluxes, are making me go, like, I kinda want that. Because it's idiotic and crazy. like Brawn!
I think the Cliff Jumper could possibly work.
Maybe, but the other thing is, if it's Cliff Jumper out of Cliff Jumper, is he even gonna, like, if he does work, will he look different? Or, because he's already red.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd to do, to make a character so much out of a character, but I think some of these other things are crazier.
Oh, I mean, no, I mean, just out of the two Prime ones, Brawn is out of Bulkhead is 5 million. Like, Classics Brawn out of Prime Bulkhead is a million times crazier than that Cliff Jumper thing. But I really want to see these.
I don't know. And that, I mean, and just like, I mean, with the Megatron, I mean, just like Overlord, that Megatron, that G2 Megatron, that is gigantic. I have the Korean Beast Wars. Was it Beast Wars 2 or Beast Wars Neo version?
Yeah.
So he has, like, Predacon stickers instead of Decepticon stickers. But I have that mold. It is massive. And that's part of the appeal of it, at least to me. So, I mean, it's just going to be... It's basically just going to be Bludgeon with an ugly green and purple camouflage pattern. But,
in a fantastic green and purple camouflage pattern.
Yeah, in a robot mode that invokes the original toy in no way whatsoever.
Hmm.
Kind of like Brawn. So, the important part is it's a tank. The important part is that it's a truck.
How are they going to make the robot mode look like Brawn when the front of the truck is
in part... It's not going to look like Brawn. That's what I was saying.
Like, I mean, even color-wise, where are they going to put the tan without making the truck mode inexplicably just have a tan front?
Well, maybe it's going to have a tan front.
Now I really want that, because that's like the dumbest looking car in the world. I painted the front half of my car tan and the back half green. I love these things.
Like with the Springer, like I think the helicopter mode looks great for Springer's helicopter mode.
Hmm.
But the robot mode just doesn't seem heroic.
It has bird legs. That's the bird leg tomahawk robot mode.
Yeah, and I kind of like Springer kind of getting sized down to Deluxe while he Bronze promoted up to Voyager. So
I love Voyager, like the idea of like just giant Brawn, like that's fantastic.
Yeah, like part of what I like so much about Brawn's character is he's like this tough as nails little dude who's like hella strong, but like small, but still totally gonna kick your ass. But I don't, yeah, I mean, and then you lose that. I was going to defend the idea of a Voyager Brawn, but now I talk myself out of it.
I didn't say a single thing. So anyway, Asia exclusive Transformers are kind of awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome to them. They're welcome to them. They can eat them.
I will buy some of those proudly as an Asian man.
They're awesome to talk about. I don't know if I really want to own many of them.
I do, but I like owning stuff that crosses a line in a certain way. The thing that'll disappoint me is if any of these things look mundane. Like, you can't turn Jazz into Wheelie with a new head, and if that turns out mundane, that's gonna suck. Like, if they somehow make it look boring, like make him primarily gray with like some orange highlights or something, I'd be like, you guys just lost my support. We also found out what MP12 is going to be. Speaking of other strange, crazy revelations, Masterpiece 12 is going to be Sideswipe, which made a lot of people kind of go, like, why? And then a whole bunch of people then went, like, oh, right, because there are 5 million Transformer characters who were all repainted from Sideswipe. So, makes kind of sense. Also, apparently there was something said somewhere in an interview about Masterpiece kind of like having some smaller toys than its, you know, larger $250 entries. So I kind of want to see how this turns out, because I as much as like I don't really think that much of Sideswipe as a character, I have always liked his robot design and his transformation scheme. So I'd love to see what a Masterpiece-sized version would look like. At the same time, you know, I can't blame people who find this a little bit lukewarm, because it is just Sideswipe. And he's a cool guy, but he's not the deepest or most beloved guy on the aside from just people who like him because he's a red car. But, Gog, how are you feeling about the sudden revelation of MP12?
toy-wise, I think it's awesome. Like, I like you, I don't have this huge affinity for the character himself, but I've always loved his design, like, especially in the modern era of those G1 characters getting the dynamic art, like, Dreamwave and on. Like, I think Sideswipe is a terrific robot design. Like, I've always loved his design. I have the G1 toy. I think it's great. So I'm really actually kind of interested in this. And this came out of nowhere. Like, it's just nowhere. Like, what? Like, official announcement. Like, so, yeah, it's going to be interesting. The other thing that's interesting, too, is if they're going to, which from the artwork, it appears they're straight up going to get the Lamborghini license, I guess. So, I mean, they'd have to in this day and age in order to replicate that car. And I really don't see them doing a masterpiece Sideswipe and giving him a generic car mode. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but yeah. And how big is it going to be? Like, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of questions. So, but yeah, if I'm way more interested in this than I was for MP10 and even the new masterpiece Starscream and all this stuff, like, I was really starting to worry about the direction that the Masterpiece line was going to go in. Suddenly, I'm a little more interested in seeing what's going on with this. So, it's a... Because, like, the only licensed Masterpiece toys we've gotten is Starscream, but he's a jet. And we got Megatron, who was actually, I believe, an officially licensed Walther pistol. So, but this is going to be, like, the first licensed car, assuming that he's licensed. If he is, this is going to be the first time that Masterpiece has licensed a car. Like I said, going by the artwork that they released, it appears that that's what they're doing. And I can't, how do you pronounce that? A Countach? Lamborghini Countach?
Countach or whatever.
Countach, whatever.
Yeah.
So, and that's like a 30-year-old car now. So I can't believe that they'd have a hard time licensing, like, an older vehicle. Like, that's easy money for Lamborghini. It's not, you know, it's like, hey, we got this dude, can we license it now? Like, I know we didn't years ago, but can we? So,
better late than never.
Yeah. So, it's kind of baffling to me, but this has maybe started to, it's the flame that's ever so closely reaching the pilot light to reignite my flames of excitement for Masterpiece. So let's see what happens.
And Seth, how are you feeling about Lambor Sideswipe? Both names on the slide.
Well, I really like that original toy and all of its variations. Like, I have the reissue of Sideswipe and Red Alert, and I have a vintage G2 with a cool black and awesome green color scheme. So it's cool. Like, I like the idea of smaller Masterpiece, as long as they're of the quality that you kind of expect from Masterpiece, even if maybe Masterpiece doesn't even live up to that ideal sometimes. At least by this line drawing, it looks like they're kind of going in the way that I would hope. But I kind of get what you guys are saying about Sideswipe as a character, because, you know, thinking back to him from the G1 cartoon, like, he's kind of like the cool, handsome guy that doesn't have any real personality. Mm-hmm. So, like, you see him at the party and you're like, oh, man, I bet that guy gets all the ladies. And then if you try to talk to him, you find out, oh, this is the dullest dude alive.
Well, he has a jetpack.
He has really nice clothes.
He also has a jetpack. Don't forget the jetpack.
Yeah. And he has a jetpack. But, yeah, I mean, I want to see more. I want to find out what this thing's going to cost. But I think it's pretty cool that they're breaking out of just doing, like, the leader level characters and going into some of these other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mid-range guys.
Mid-tier.
And maybe it will lead to, like, characters that people are more excited about, like a Jazz or
Skids.
Or a Skids. Or a Trax.
And then they'll get right up to Cosmos and cancel the whole line.
They get up to Cosmos, and then Takara Tomy will go bankrupt again. Or Takara will go bankrupt.
Or, take Tomy with them. Or a brawn. A proper brawn.
3 years later. Okay.
If they do... Well, they had that artwork for a Huffer, right? Dude, they gotta do the Huffer.
Yeah, that's true. They did.
And then they gotta do Gears.
Yeah.
And then Sea Spray and Power Glide.
And everyone else.
And that's how they fight. And that's how they fight back against the third party companies.
Exactly.
By doing it better. That's the real way you do it. You don't lock them out. You just show them up.
Yeah. You just come in and you outdance them.
Yeah.
Challenge them to a battle.
Start popping and locking. Just go nuts like Rerun.
Home Z. We also got something. We actually talked about this on Primetime, but
Takara Tomy going nuts like Rerun should be their company tag.
We also got this picture, very blurry picture of the Voyager breakdown, and I just realized me and Gog have already kind of talked about it on Primetime. We were trying to figure out if it has an eye patch, and because the photo is real blurry. We don't know if he has an eye patch, so that's going to be figured out sometime later. So mainly, I actually want to know, Seth, what do you think of this prime version of Breakdown? What are you thinking of his blockiness and his silhouette?
Well, you definitely got to watch him out.
I watch him out all the time.
Watch him out all the way out. That looks cool. I love that big... Is he supposed to be an armored car or just like a big chunky truck?
Super chunky truck, if I recall correctly.
Hey, well, either way, that truck looks pretty awesome. And that's the kind of dude that you would want to be named Breakdown. Just, he looks like he would just walk up and punch through you.
Break you down.
Yeah, so that's cool. No, I think this looks really cool.
He is one of the...
I don't know how accurate he is to the show, but he looks cool.
Well, he is one of the Arms Micron toys that I have on pre-order, so I'm looking forward to seeing what stickers they provide him with
all when he gets the stickers. His
release in glorious Nippon. Yeah, Gog, I mean, did you have any other thoughts on Breakdown since Primetime? Or,
he's cool.
All right.
He's awesome.
He's Adam Baldwin.
Oh, I hate it now.
Last bit of news we've got. This is one that's going to be. This is going to have something for all those of us who were at the New York Comic Con Transformers brand panel. We've got our first two color shots, like just one slide. Universal Studios Transformers line for EVAC, and we get to see what the deluxe EVAC looks like. I think it looks totally okay. I don't really want to go out of my like. I'm not going to pay someone like an extra $50 to get me one from Universal Studios, but I'd kind of like to own EVAC because I think he looks like a fun toy. However, those of you who may remember the New York Comic Con Transformers brand panel might remember there was a gentleman who spent, you know, about 3 hours pacing around the room with a microphone asking more and more questions about EVAC's packaging. You know, he went up and said, so, how's EVAC going to be released? And like, well, he's going to come out at, you know, Universal Studios first, and maybe we'll release him again somewhere down the line. Well, if he comes out, how's he going to come out? Well, he's, you know, Universal Studios, and then we're going to look into other options. Well, he's going to come in a box or on a card with a bubble? Probably a card with a bubble as he looks. Well, what's the card art going to be like? What color's the package going to be? And this guy was going on and on, asking more and more deeper questions. In this slide, we can see what the packaging looks like. He's going to come on a...
You were going to say that's the guy that's in the picture.
On the bottom right there?
Yeah, that'd be awesome if it was the same guy.
He's like, hey, guess what, everyone? It was me all along. It's a red Starburst red Starburst card. It says Transformers Universal Studios as the brand name. That's the line. It's from the Universal Studios Transformers line. Now we know what the card looks like. So when you're in Universal Studios trying to figure out what EVAC is, you know, you'll be able to spot him from a mile away because he'll be the one that says Transformers on the front. So there we go. That chapter is closed. Gog, any thoughts on Deluxe or Legion's EVAC?
I remember the gray proto is looking a little better. Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping maybe that's a little mistransformed, or maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm just happy, and then I don't have to worry about getting it. But, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. Like I remember like when we talked about this before, when we saw the gray protos of both versions. Like I was like, oh man, that dude looks kind of cool.
But, everything folded up more on the gray proto. So I think this might be mistransformation.
Yeah, the robot mode in this looks. On the deluxe, and this slide looks totally bleh. Like I wouldn't care, but I'm gonna wait and see what in-hand pictures look like, because I remember seeing things about that robot that I liked. So I'm just gonna assume that this is done wrong, and we'll see. But we'll see. But
and Seth, how are you feeling about Evac?
Yeah, kind of the same. I think the car mode looks pretty cool. But the robot mode looks kind of like, it looks like lazy movie aesthetic. It's like he's got the crazy, like, oh, a bunch of parts, like a movie character, but just kind of not really done all the way. Like his legs, like his shins look like erector set pieces, but it's sculpted. So it's, I don't know. It's just whatever.
I think he again, needed to
also kind of glad that I don't have to worry about like, oh, how am I going to get this?
He needed to come with the Human Alliance Morshower, because Morshower is part of the ride as well. And I think that would have been a great, like, kind of end to the movie line, release Evac and Morshower as like the epilogue pair of heroes. I don't know about that, but I want to see what he turns out like in person. I kind of want him, but I don't want to go through a lot of trouble to get him. So I don't know. Anyway, I believe that is all our news from Cybertron Con in Singapore. So I'd like to do a quick listener voicemail with you guys.
Okay.
We've got some of these. We've got a voicemail. According to the file name, it says it's from a gentleman named Wang Base Red.
Nice.
I have no idea, so I'm just going to play this.
Get some topical ointment, and that'll clear right up.
Yep. I'm going to go to Wang Base Red and get this voicemail underway.
Hi, this is Wang Base Red on Yahoo, Twitter, YouTube, etc. On the boards as well, but I don't really post that much. Anyway, my question is this. With the unexpected fame of Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Paramount and Hasbro have decided to create a live-action Beast Wars trilogy that takes place in the same continuity as the live-action Transformers movies we've already had. With this being the case, how do you think each movie would go? How do you think the teaser trailer would go? All kinds of those questions, basically. And, you know, it's just theoretical. I look forward to your reply, and thank you. Bye.
Okay, I should probably say this now. I know who that was. I feel bad that I'm kind of deconstructing such a fantastic name, but that's Land Base Red. I've seen him on Twitter. So, Land Base Red is someone I've talked to on Twitter. And I really wish that I didn't know that, because I love the idea of someone called Wang Base Red. As soon as he said his name, it didn't click with me at all until the moment he said his name. I was like, oh! And then I felt really guilty afterwards.
You forget the fact that, like, his name has, like, three question marks at the end, denouncing or denoting the fact that I wasn't sure, but okay.
The question marks aren't in the file name. Are they in the transcript thing?
Yeah, probably.
I haven't looked at the transcript yet.
I played that like three times. I couldn't tell what he was saying.
I mean, I can hear Wang Base Red if I play it. Like, yeah, play it again.
Play the beginning of that again.
Yeah, here.
Hi, this is Wang Base Red.
Like, yeah, I can hear it. I can hear it if you don't know his actual name. The moment I heard it, I was like, that's Land Base. Oh, no. That means there is not someone called Wang Base Red. And that is a crime.
There will be soon.
But yeah, at sign Land Base Red on Twitter. I've conversed with the gentleman before. my apologies to you, Mr. Land Base Red, for... I think that it should go into the topic list as Wang Base Red, because otherwise that's a spoiler. So we should maintain our party line here. The question was about the new Planet of the Apes movies being a live-action Beast Wars in continuity with live-action Transformers. If that means Andy Serkis gets to play one of Soundwave's cassette robots in motion capture, that's cool. Or in fact, even better, Andy Serkis as Optimus Minor. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, because how are Soundwave's tapes part of Beast Wars?
Hey, look, there was this episode of Beast Wars that Soundwave was totally in. He was lying on the floor of the spaceship, and he was huge.
And why don't you want Andy Serkis to have a starring role as Optimus Primal? What do you have against Andy Serkis?
I will answer your question with a question and ask why you think Optimus Minor is not the true leader of the Maximals.
Because he isn't.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Well. So what do you guys... what's your answer to the question, Gog Dog? I zeroed in on you because of your silence.
So the Planet of the Apes movie in continuity with the Bay movie, except it's Beast Wars?
Yeah.
So, like, the Maximals just become feral and just storm the city?
Yeah, you know.
Well, I think he was saying because of the popularity of the Planet of the Apes movie.
Oh, I thought he meant that they were... Oh,
I was too busy laughing to hear.
I misunderstood the question. Glad
somebody was paying attention.
I was holding in the revelation of who that actually was, the entire voicemail. It was distracting. My answer remains the same. Andy Serkis is a Transformer.
I like that you know that there's somebody called Land Base Red, but you still thought that this was somebody called Wang Base Red.
I did. I really did.
And it never crossed your mind, like, oh, they must I wonder if they ripped off that name from Land Base Red.
Well, I just, you know, until I hear it phonetically, okay. You know, I don't, it doesn't cross my mind. But yeah, Andy Serkis is a Transformer. Gog Dog, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's my thought.
Hmm. Seth, what about you?
Oh man, I wouldn't want to see what a Bay continuity animal to robot transformation would look like.
Blood.
Just blood and fur flying in every direction. God, that would be...
Oh man. Man.
Why don't they not have it be in continuity with the Bay movies?
Then we'd actually get Megatron shooting an elephant.
That's how Ironhide dies in the Beast Wars movies. See, Beast Wars Ironhide was an elephant who was part of the Combiner guy. And just imagine the Michael Bay movie's Transformers aesthetic, plus the first Cheetor toy who had like his intestines and his brain inside his gut cannon. So these,
yeah, I don't want to imagine.
It's like one of these Bay Decepticons just winging his innards, his beast innards around like a flail. Just like,
I'm not a huge Beast Wars fan. Like, I watched the show when it was on. I appreciate some of the stuff. I have some beast toys. What I have, I think, is pretty good. But I would not want them to be Bayed. I would not suffer Beast Wars the indignity of Bayness.
Do you spell
Give it a chance to be good.
B-A-N-U-S.
I don't want another stinky Bayness.
Oh. What part of the Beast Wars, man, is the Banus? Can you please point to the Banus? On the...
Did somebody perform Banal Angus?
I hope that answers your listener question.
Exploding
voicemail.
Banus.
Land base red, known in some circles as Wang base red, according to the name Banus. Red Wang Banus. I don't really want to do this on our listener question. Like, I feel like we really just hit a peak with that one there. But we do have a written listener question from Our Death Angel. All these three part names. Listener question from Wang Death Angel. Hey,
Wang Dong Angel. Are you sure you got the name right?
Whoa. You don't have to,
Wang Dong Anal.
You don't have to come at me for my ethnicity here. This was sent in January. Hey, WTFers, I hope I'm sending this to the right place. Love the show. Here's my question. Hasbro have decided to loan out... What, huh?
Keep going. Oh. I was just saying, okay.
Okay, good. Hasbro have decided to loan out one of their Transformers characters to another fictional universe. In exchange for this loan, Hasbro is to receive a character from that universe to insert into their Transformers fiction. The swap will last for 3 years, at the end of which the character will be returned to their home universes. Which Transformer and which other character would you choose to swap places? For example, you could choose Beast Wars Death Charge and the Vision. I mean, the Vision could be used in Transformers fiction for 3 years, and Beast Wars Death Charge could be used in Marvel fiction, movies, comics, games, whatever, for 3 years. Try to think of its story possibilities, like how would Vision's technology interact with the Cybertronian technology, with the fact that there are sentient robots in the Beast Wars universe affect the Vision's belief in his own sentience. Thanks in advance for answering this question. I tried to be a bit different, so you guys seem to get very similar questions a lot of the time. Cheers, David McIntyre from sunny Scotland. So this is literally the character being swapped into another fictional universe, not like just the idea of the character being appropriated. This is like literally like Marvel's The Vision being in Beast Wars and probably looking really confused the entire time. Seth, who would you swap?
Did he say for 3 years?
Exactly 3 years.
Okay, that's tough. Because I was going to say, do you take Red Alert from when he went a little squirrely, when he went kind of nuts in G1, and swap him with Shane from The Walking Dead?
Ooh.
But then that 3 year thing gets kind of rough because Shane doesn't last that long. But,
what are they talking about?
Well, if they're swapped, then it doesn't matter because it's not like Red Alert is taking Shane's place.
I don't see how Red Alert
is, but he's not playing his role.
How could Red Alert possibly be threatened by The Walking Dead?
Well, it's not that he's threatened by the zombies. He's a threat to the other survivors because he's crazy.
Oh. Ooh, okay.
See, that's the real deal with Walking Dead. It's the zombies are out there; they're dangerous, but the real danger are other people.
Hmm. But what would Shane do in the G1 Transformers universe?
He would probably become incredibly jealous of the relationship between Optimus Prime and Alita One. And attempt to kill Optimus Prime and keep Alita One for himself. Probably.
Would he succeed or would he end up...
Or same situation, Spike and Carly.
But how would
and
he...
And right when... Well, right when he's gonna shoot Spike in the back, Chip shoots him in the back first.
Courage.
And then they wait 3 years for Red Alert to come back.
And when Red Alert comes back, they just try to tell him, yeah, this guy showed up. It's kind of a
joke. He tried to shoot Prime in the back, but it didn't really work out. We all kind of ignored it. And then he tried to shoot Spike, and Chip had to regulate.
Dog, who would you swap?
Optimus Primal from Beast Machines and Christopher Walken from The Prophecy.
I'd like to watch this version of Beast Machines. What? Do you have anything else to add to this, or are you just going to leave it to stand on its own?
I think it stands on its own.
All right. I actually couldn't...
Let's swap Leader One from GoBots and Optimus Prime.
Gotta give me some details.
They just trade places and lead.
But one of them...
heroically.
One of them is an airplane and the other one is a truck.
Yep.
I mean, this changes
that is correct.
This changes the paradigm completely.
That's what makes it interesting. Ooh.
I can't think of a Transformer, but I would want to put Garrus Vakarian into a Transformers universe and see what happens. Like, I can't think of what Transformer I'd want to put into the Mass Effect universe, but I just want to put Garrus into a Transformers universe. The Prime universe? Swap Garrus with Prime's version of Brawn that doesn't exist? What if you swap Garrus and RC? They're both blue. Kind of. They wear blue armor.
You could have the Energon zombies, the Terracons, or whatever they're called, alongside the Husks.
Yeah. Oh, man. And, like, Garrus just, like, chilling out, just sniping Terracons and busting their heads open.
And making wise cracks about hanging out with Jack.
Yeah.
Because the only other Jack he ever knew was a crazy tattooed girl.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about Jack? Get tattoos.
I was about to ask if that was going to be the extent of your Garrus Vakarian impersonation. But then you added another line.
He's very dry.
Yeah.
I also don't have the vocal effect.
Why?
I sound more like a Turian.
Why don't you have the vocal effect? I'm still kind of reeling from the voicemail. I'm not sure if I'm in the right mindset.
I just thought of an app that we could all co-create and become billionaires.
The Turian voice app?
Yeah, it would work like IMT Pain, but it would make you sound like a Turian.
I would probably buy that app. Turians have a really cool voice effect. Actually, they also have the thing though where a lot of them end up sounding exactly the same. Like the Salarians get that. This is irrelevant to the question at hand. So I hope that
you're relevant.
I am very relevant. I hope this answers your question, our Death Angel. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back with what we got this week. I have a whole array of completely irrelevant things to talk about that I got this week.
I got hardly nothing.
How is that?
Hard.
Ooh. Is it a dinosaur?
A hard dinosaur.
I know a hard dinosaur.
That's what she said.
I want to get out of here! Let's go to intermission.
Shepard, need me for something?
Have you got a minute?
Sure, just killing time anyway. I wanted to thank you again for your help with Sidonis. Whatever happens with the Collectors or the Reapers or whoever else comes after us, I know you'll get the job done.
I couldn't do this without you, Garrus.
Sure you could. Not as stylishly, of course. It's strange going into a suicide mission on a human ship. Your people don't prepare for high-risk operations the way Turians do.
How do Turian crews get ready for high-risk missions?
With violence, usually. Turian ships have more operational discipline than your Alliance, but fewer personal restrictions. Our commanders run us tight, and they know we need to blow off steam. Turian ships have training rooms for exercise, combat sims, even full-contact sparring. Whatever lets people work off stress.
You mean Turian ships have crewmen fighting each other before a mission?
It's supervised, of course. Nobody's going to risk an injury that interferes with the mission, and it's a good way to settle grudges amicably. I remember right before one mission, we were about to hit a Batarian pirate squad. Very risky. This recon scout and I had been at each other's throats. Nerves, mostly. She suggested we settle it in the ring.
I assume you took her down gently?
Actually, she and I were the top-ranked hand-to-hand specialists on the ship. I had reach, but she had flexibility. It was brutal. After 9 rounds, the judge called it a draw. There were a lot of unhappy bettors in the training room. We ended up holding a tiebreaker in her quarters. I had reach, but she had flexibility. More than one way to work off stress, I guess.
It sounds like you're carrying some tension. Maybe I could help you get rid of it.
I didn't think you'd feel like sparring, Commander.
What if we skipped right to the tiebreaker? We could test your reach and my flexibility.
Oh, I didn't. Never knew you had a weakness for men with scars. Well, why the hell not? There's nobody in this galaxy I respect more than you. If we can figure out a way to make it work, then... yeah, definitely.
Hey, guys. We got some stuff this week. And we're here to talk to you about what we got. I'd first like to ask Gog Dog what Transformers he got this week.
Oh, man. I got a few, actually.
Oh, I thought you... Oh, well, okay, never mind.
No.
Good show, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. And, huh?
Good night, everybody. What's happening?
Hey, welcome to the show, WTF and TFW. We're here to talk to you about Transformers we bought this week, and joining me today is Gog Dog.
Hi.
Hello.
What's happening tonight?
We're talking about toys.
Okay. So, I don't know what's going on. This is awkward.
Hey, yeah, no worries. So, what toys did you get this week that were Transformers?
I got a few. I got a first edition deluxe Megatron. Yeah. The aforementioned buddy, Silvershot. I guess he had gotten a 2-pack. I think he had a... I don't know. I don't know the details. I think he had gotten a hold of a couple of 2-packs and asked if I wanted one of the Megatrons. I said, sure. I said, how much extra for a Miko? He's like, none. I'll go ahead and throw it in. So now I get all the kids. Even though Jack and Raph are the New York Comic Con versions. Even so, the Miko, that makes the Miko harder to get. So super lucked out. Thanks a lot, dudes. Super, super, super appreciate it. Yeah, first edition Megatron is kind of awesome. It's amazing how good his color looks, especially compared to the Powerizer. Like, it's just, it makes the Powerizer that much more sad. Especially with that, they take the time to mold in that awesome brushed metal texture over his whole body.
And then they can't
paint it. So having first edition Megatron in hand, he just looks great. Like, even the parts that aren't painted, he has got like a marbleized silver plastic. Obviously the painted parts look awesome on his forearms and his chest, his head, his abdomen piece, the jet port things on his back, but even the unpainted parts look fine. And it's like, wow, why couldn't they have done something similar for the wide release? But
I love whatever. That first edition Megatron, and I thought
he's so good. And
I thought he was going to be the toy nobody ever got that they should have got. And so every time someone gets him and says, "Hey, this is pretty good," I'm like, "Yes, one more."
Yeah, and like especially like him being such a smaller figure. Like another thing that I didn't like about the Powerizer was his face looks kind of gummy, kind of mushy, like almost like it's made of PVC. Like the detail isn't there. And you have so like the thing that super jumped out at me when I took him out of the package for the first time is like how sharp all the details are in his face. Like it's smaller but better. It just makes that RID version just like it's so much lost potential there. Like
I love the teeth on that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like the teeth on the Powerizer like are larger and have less detail. So, and then the gun proportions on the deluxe version here are so much better. One thing that I was amused by is the instructions don't even show the leg transformation, how the wingtips detach and fold out. Like, it just, like, the vehicle mode transformation, the instructions for this, for the deluxe are just like totally incomplete. Like it leaves out a few steps at the end. So I kept looking at the legs. I'm like, I know those do something. And so I'm messing with it and popped him in half. I'm like, yep, there it is. There's something. So, but no, he's really good. And it's a shame that like he's not more widely available, but.
And a lot of people also just pass him by because he's in a two pack. Like they just assume, oh, right. Two pack deluxe.
And yeah. And then the Japanese one being the price it is, as it is, you might as well get the Canadian release two pack because yeah. You know, you're going to be paying the same amount, so.
And then I'd say, well, get the ARMS Micron one, because it's the deluxe mold, and it's going to come with that awesome lug nut Minicon, and then it turns out it's probably going to look awful.
Yep, so lots of disappointment in the Prime line these days, but whatever. But yeah, he's really cool, and I'm glad that I got him. And if it wasn't for Silvershot, I probably wouldn't have even considered it. So it was just kind of an opportunity. I'm like, I better jump on this. And I'm really glad that I did. So thank you, sir. Today I found a Cyberverse Commander Starscream. He's kind of cool. The only thing that I'm not really into is the way his wings fold up in robot mode on his back. I don't think they really emulate the show that well. But everything else that he does in robot mode is actually really good. The jet mode is actually pretty interesting for what he is. I like that his legs fold up, and then the tips, the little wingtip things on the sides of his legs actually form the rear fins near the exhaust port like they do in the show.
Oh, cool.
The first edition Starscream kind of fakes it because you have the wingtips that fold out. They flip up in robot mode, and they're basically like fake fins where the ones on his arms, which are the real ones, hide. But the one on the Cyberverse actually... They're the real one. So I thought that was kind of cool because it actually gets that point better than the deluxe. And I'm not sure how they do it in the Voyager. I try not to look at that pictures of that figure as much as possible.
Aww.
But yeah, but no, he is a really cool commander. I'd seen a few today today for the first time ever at retail. And I was like, well, they're like $9 each. I don't know. I definitely don't want to get more than one at a time. So he was the one that I decided to grab, but no, he's really cool. So, but
yeah, I'm kind of jonesing for those commanders because I've got all of the spoiler now. I've got all of the Legion toys from Wave One, so it's good to hear that like Starscream turned out well because I heard good things about Megatron too. So,
Megatron looks scarily accurate, at least especially in robot mode at that size class. But
I've heard basically like all of them except Optimus are fantastic, and Optimus is still kind of okay. Mm-hmm. If you like Optimus, but apparently Bulkhead's commander toy is also pretty well done.
Yeah, so I'll probably get at least a few more at some point from that first wave. I think I forgot it last time, but last time I actually had gotten a Legion Cliffjumper, and I totally forgot to mention him because I had gotten him that day.
Oh, I flipped out about him last week.
Yeah, I heard, and it reminded me. I'm like, oh yeah, I'd gotten him before you did, and completely forgot to talk about him. But no, I emulate everything you said. It's great. One thing that I just love about these new Legion toys is they all have knees, and it's something that was missing from like all the previous ones, unless it was part of the transformation by chance. So I'm just waiting. I think they're going to be worth their price point once they get elbows. That's the thing.
Cliffjumper is the template, I think, for where I'd love to see the Legion toys go.
Yeah. So, but I'd like to see that be a standard across the line, because basically a 2-inch figure for $5 is, even when they're good, I think they're only worth it when they're really, really good.
Mm.
I don't think any of the movie ones from Dark of the Moon really hit the, it's worth it for me. The Prime ones are approaching that much more so. And Cliffjumper might be the only one that's actually hit it for me. Yeah, but you guys have already talked him to death, but he's a great little figure. I think it was, I can't remember his name. It's, his name is Alex on Twitter. I think it's like Alexicon or something. I'm screwing it up, but.
Oh, I think Alexicon sounds familiar.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but he's the one that told me, he's like, dude, you got to get that. Like the first day that I found it, I actually went back to the store and got it. And I was really happy that I did.
I'm actually really glad that you forgot to bring it up, because I literally bought Cliffjumper only hearing, yeah, he's a pretty good Legion toy. That's all I heard. And I opened him last. Mm-hmm. So I literally went like Viacon RC Cliffjumper, knowing nothing about how like transcendent Cliffjumper was for that price point. And so I was like, that was such a fun night. Cause I was like, oh my God, this is like, I ran onto Twitter for like an hour, just like wailing about how good the toy was. I wanted to mention Fisk One has tried shaving down some of the plastic on his thighs and the inside of his pelvis, and that actually did free up the leg motion a little bit more.
Okay.
He hasn't found a place to put pictures yet, but he said he's going to take a few pictures to show where he filed it down. I've already bought a second Cliffjumper to do that too. Cool. And I'm probably going to buy a third one to repaint into Big Daddy, just because I like that toy a lot. And mm-hmm. I want excuses to have multiples of it.
That's cool. But no, so yeah, even the Prime Legions continue to be impressive, if not just slightly more expensive than they should be. Mm. And I also got a second Viacon, which is much like you and Aaron said last week, I've bought everyone that I've seen.
Yeah.
So I'll probably just get one more, so I'll have three. But yeah, Viacon he's a cool little dude. I got my free set of Headmaster Junior stickers from Repro Labels for buying the knockoff Minerva and Ghost Shooter. They had Repro Labels, if you join their forums, they had this deal a few months ago where if you had the originals, or if you had some form of that mold, of those G1 Headmasters, or if you had bought the knockoffs, you showed them proof, you joined their forum, sent them a picture with your, a picture of you holding it, just showing proof that you own it, they would write you down on a list, and then they did a big, print run of the, Repro Labels for those, and then you got them for free. I didn't realize that those were being sent from Canada, so, like, anyone in the U.S. that has it is basically getting like not only free stickers but free shipping from another country, and some people in Europe have started getting theirs too, I believe.
Oh, wow. So
yeah, it was a really, really, really cool project.
That's actually, shipping from Canada to the U.S. is not all that not as bad as it could be, but shipping to Europe always sucks from Canada. Right.
I mean, and it's just an envelope with a tiny sticker sheet, but it's still free. Like, this is all stuff that's being done by a couple of guys getting nothing in return. So it's really, really, really amazing. But I've completely stickered up my Ghost Shooter. He looks great. So much better than those cheesy knockoff stickers that came with it. I look forward to taking pictures. I've mostly stickered up my Minerva. The only thing that I'm doing right now, and it's, the paint is actually still drying from putting the last coat on earlier this evening. But, I took her apart. Her torso is black, so I have a can of white spray paint. In the last couple of days, I've just been giving it lots of light, really light coats. So once that dries, put it back together, and she'll be all stickered up. So that should all be completed hopefully by tomorrow or sometime this weekend. But yeah, really excited. And even the stickers, like all of her vehicle mode stickers are there, and it looks so good, like with the... even the quality of those stickers is great. And like we've talked about Rep Labels before, I think we even had a listener question where I had admitted, I'm like, yeah, I think they look cool, but I've never really had an opportunity to use them or whatever. So like this, like, yeah, I'm definitely impressed with the quality. One thing to note with that is the guy who is heading this up, I think his name is TF Prime or something like that. I'll post a link in the episode thread if somebody reminds me, if they're interested. But they're actually have said that they're doing a second run. So if you missed out on it and you want to get the knockoffs of these guys, or if you have original versions and want new stickers, follow the link that he posted and you'll be in for a second run. They have no word of when it's going to be completed, but they have said that if you're interested and you missed out the first time, you'll have a second chance. So it's really cool, and it's totally for free. So, it's great. So jump on it if you want it. If you for some reason missed it the first time. And I got the 2-3 packs of Bot Shots. I found them at retail, and they're cool. Ooh. And one thing I didn't realize is the prowl from that is actually a repaint of Barricade. And it's crazy how much he looks like Prowl when you take Bearcade's silver head crest and give him a white body and just paint it red. And he's a police car. Like, I didn't even, like, it makes total sense looking at it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Bearcade. But with a little bit of different paint, like, he totally can pull off looking just like a Prowl. So, like, yeah, interesting. The Acid Storm's kind of funny, just being a bright green jet. I don't even remember everybody that came in there. There's a there was a Bumblebee with a slightly different paint job. Oh, there was Nemesis Prime.
Yeah, Nemesis Prime and, like, Black Megatron, I think, were in Acid Storm's box.
Yeah. So I think there was only one unique mold in each pack. And the rest were repaints. So obviously Acid Storm and Nemesis Prime were the repaint. I think the Megatron... yeah, the Megatron was a unique mold, but it's also the same one that comes with the launcher. Mm-hmm. I think with no difference, if I remember. And then in the Autobot pack, you had the repaint Bumblebee, Prowl from Bearcade, and...
Sentinel Prime?
Sentinel Prime. So maybe there wasn't a unique mold in that.
Hmm. I mean, there's unique looking guys because of the paint job. Like Sentinel Prime being painted is unique.
Yeah, I guess I was wrong about that. But yeah. So, but whatever. But yeah, it's cool. I like bot shots. I look forward to seeing some of these upcoming waves because they look really great. But so,
yeah.
But I'm up to, like, I've seen the two launchers, the Prime Launcher and the Megatron, but it's like, I already own both of those figures. I'm not going to pay again to get those just to get the little launcher thing. Like, I hope that they start putting out launcher figures of characters that haven't gotten figures released, at least, especially in the same wave. I don't remember if, like, we saw the Ironhide launcher with that ridiculous meat truck thing. So... meat grinder truck. So I don't know if he was getting, I can't remember if he was getting a individual release or not, but I don't know. But yep, so I'm pretty much caught up on bot shots, so I look forward to the second wave to start hitting. But that's it for my on topic.
I'm very much looking forward to the second wave of bot shots hitting, because I think, aside from, like, I don't have them yet, but I got a hookup that I'll be talking about probably either next week or the week after, and I decided that I wanted the launchers. And I decided I want the three packs, and I decided on the water. Once you have a bunch of bot shots on your desk and you take them all and just kind of, like, run them into each other and watch what happens, it's just some kind of weird, like, mental virus just activates. And you're like, I should get all of them. So, yeah. Seth, how was your week this week for Transformers acquisitioning?
No toys.
Oh.
But I did get something on topic. Blu-ray, limited edition, Transformers Prime, maybe.
Welcome to the club!
Oh my god, you can actually watch it now.
Well, eventually.
Yeah. You gotta get that shrink wrap on.
Well, the only TV with a Blu-ray player is a shared TV, so I don't always have access to it whenever I would want. So, and I'm really prioritizing playing Mass Effect as much as possible.
Good, good.
Before that all gets spoiled. But, so, this DVD set comes with a comic book from IDW. It's 96 pages. And they do something, I haven't read it yet, but I was thumbing through it a little earlier. And they do something that I've been seeing Marvel do a lot, like in the little bit of Marvel that I read, like when I pick up trade paperbacks and whatnot. I don't know if DC is doing it too. I don't know if this is a trend that is going across all over comicdom. I don't like it. It's switching artists constantly. This thing is broken up into four chapters, and every section is a different artist.
Oh yeah, that was the monthly book they put out right before the show came out. I remember the artist swaps. It was weird.
Yeah, I don't like that. And, like, even reading some of these Marvel trades, it's like they're switching artists every second or third issue, if an artist lasts even that long. Mm-hmm. Like, I got this X-Men one, and the first section was penciled by Mark Silvestri, who was who did X-Men when I first started reading X-Men back in the 80s. And I was like, this is awesome. Oh my God. Mark Silvestri doing X-Men. And then after 22 pages or whatever it was, it's somebody else and it's never Silvestri again. I don't like the broken visual continuity of switching artists like that, especially in a story arc. Come on, guys, knock it off.
Yeah.
So whatever. And really that's all I have to say about this box set so far. I'm just ripping off the last bits of wrap because the DVD set, the DVDs are wrapped in separately. And I wanted to see how they got all four Blu-rays into this one box, which is nice. I'm glad it's not like two boxes with two discs each because it is a four disc set.
Yeah.
And they got them all in one box, which is pretty cool.
Very pleasantly self-contained.
Yes, it's heavy. It's a weighty package with all those DVDs in there.
Yeah.
And what's this deal? Oh, it's just an ad for the IDW comic, so whatever. That was tucked inside. So I got that.
All right.
Well, and I'm going to start doing solo prime times for every single episode.
If you can give me some solo prime times, I will put them up.
Just do it with GM fan again.
No, I'm just going to talk to myself.
You should just record while you're watching the episode.
Yeah, it would just be long stretches of silence.
The episode really, really faintly on in the background.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Like just faint enough so you can't hear it.
Like you could tell what character's talking, but you can't make out any specific words.
Yeah, like it's all just complete gibberish to the listener. That'd be fantastic. And it would also set our prime time numbering scheme even farther off and away from the episode numbering to even further frustrate those who do not know that we had, like, at one point, two prime times in a row for the same episode.
Well, just rename my solo ones Primetime Rerun.
Can I call it Primetime Syndication?
I like Rerun. Reruns. But nobody listen and get too excited because it's not going to actually happen. So,
I was excited. I got some little Transformers. So
good.
First up,
is this some Matt Moylan stuff or what?
I'm talking about Cyberverse and Botshots. Talking about the good ish. So last week I was talking about Cyberverse toys. I literally had these ones in a bag behind me, but I didn't open them because I wanted stuff to talk about this week. So also last week, I talked about how much I liked Cliffjumper's sword and how weird I found RC's double-barreled gun, which we deduced kind of looked like Bumblebee's gun. Literally a minute after recording, I opened up Ratchet and Bumblebee and realized that there are two Autobot Cyberverse weapons. If you buy all of Cyberverse Wave 1 Legion toys, you end up with two of Ratchet's blades and two of Bumblebee's cannons, meaning you can arm Ratchet with his double giant scalpels or Bumblebee with his double blasters, and that's how they worked in that kind of accessory. And so that's actually kind of cool. And then, of course, you know, there was immediately a response in the thread of like, hey, I'm surprised you didn't. Ratchet's Cyberverse toy is he's on the level. He's got the knees. I like his size. I like his sculpt. When you have both blades attached to his arms, he looks pretty cool. Other than that, he is a little bit unremarkable. Bumblebee's Cyberverse, though, kind of sucks because it doesn't even have knees. Even though there's room for the knees there, he has no knees at all. He has a cool thing where his front wheels fold inside his chest as part of, you know, sliding his arms forward. Standing completely still, he looks okay with the other Cyberverse toys, but he is actually, I think, the worst of Wave 1 because he is lacking that new extra awesome point of articulation that is standard to every other Legion toy in the Wave. And he also just doesn't look as good. His door wings look like a movie Legend toy. And he's just, I find, subpar compared to the rest of them. So Bumblebee kind of sucks.
Sounds like standard operating procedure for Prime Bumblebee.
Yep. Everything that he does is just a bit worse than what everyone else does. So, and also, you hold up Prime Bumblebee's Cyberverse Legion next to Cyberverse Legion Prime Cliffjumper, and you can barely believe they're even being sold for the same price. It's awful. So that toy kind of sucks, unfortunately. Bot shots. I also picked up the remaining bot shots I needed. I got Starscream and Bumblebee at the Walmart, and they're cool. Bumblebee is, I think, one of my nicest ones in terms of how his spring tension works. And then thanks to Stan, Nurse Midnight on Twitter, I got Botshots Prime because he sent me something and was very kind and threw a Botshots Prime into the box of stuff I bought off him. So thank you very much, Stan. It's really cool having all five of the first wave Botshots together because I literally just had them on my desk and I pushed them all towards each other face first and they all transformed. It was kind of awesome. And then I just started trying to figure out ways to transform them, like bouncing them off the desk or like tapping the front bumper or trying to backflip them because they have a lot of spring force when they transform and you can kind of play with that a little bit. I got some cool suggestions on Twitter. I actually got some cool stories on Twitter. There's someone who literally said, I had my Botshots barricade and I was bored, so I threw him across the room. And when he landed on his bumper, he transformed and bounced himself 2 feet back towards me. And I was like, that's a really cool story for multiple reasons. Number one, what the toy did. Number two, you were so bored you decided to just pick up one of your toys and throw it across the room to see what would happen. I like the lead up to that story. So Botshots have won me over. And Cyberverse for Prime, I only have Legion toys so far, but they are a majority of them are very well done. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some more of this affordable Transformers stuff in the future. Just looking at my list, I think that's all I got that was on topic. So in Off-Topicsville, I want to just quickly steer the steering wheel, turn. Hey, Seth, did you get anything off-topic this week?
I got one thing off-topic.
All right.
Would you believe me if I said I got an SH Figure Arts Kamen Rider?
Nope.
That is good, because I didn't. I got an SH Monster Arts Mecha Godzilla.
Deja vu.
So are you going the full completist on me here, or actually I know you're not, because no. I know why you got Mechagodzilla.
Well, I mean from the beginning I thought, oh man, that would be great to get Mechagodzilla also. But man, he was always so expensive everywhere it seemed. Like minimum $70.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him for as much as 100 plus. I think it was pushing 110. So yikes. But what was it? Hobby Search had him on sale for roughly $40.
Yep.
And come on, man. How are you going to pass that up? So I jumped on that. He showed up. Sal shipping. So it took a couple weeks, but that was all right. I was okay with that. He's cool. There's a couple paint blemishes on the chest, which are a little disappointing. The die cast in his feet make him feel really heavy, which is cool. And I like when they go that route with die cast. Like if you're going to put just like a relatively small amount of die cast, put it down in the feet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just makes the toy way more stable. And so you still get that weightiness. Like with that Mazinger Z, those metal lower legs and feet let you put it in ridiculous poses without the need of a stand, because it just, the legs weigh them down and it's all good. All these Monster Art figures kind of have limited articulation. I think that's just the way it is, because those suits aren't super flexible either.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of stuff moves, just not very far. It's kind of a bummer that there's no tilt at all to the head. The only articulation of the head is twisting left and right and his mouth. But, so to put him in his flight pose, you have to swap the neck out. So you got to pop off the head, yank out a section of the neck, put in an alternate neck section so he could angle his head properly, and then also replace the tail with a straighter tail for flight mode. And I just don't really see the need to have him in flight mode except for the one time just to see it.
Yeah.
And he comes with a second pair of hands. Huh?
The whole thing about his flight mode needing all those extra parts, like, I understand kind of why it was necessary, but given the pedigree of the SH something arts line, I was kind of bummed to hear that he had to do all that kind of fiddly pull this out and plug this on just to do that one pose. Seemed kind of like, just make the joints work that way.
Yeah, and the hands that are on, the fingers are slightly curled and just like a relaxed hand sort of pose. Then he comes with alternate hands where the fingers are straight, like completely straight, like for the firing the finger missiles.
Mm-hmm.
And then being the first release, he comes with that kind of rainbowish laser breath shot, which is good. I like the base for it better than what Godzilla's breath came with, because with Godzilla's breath, it was like this weird shockwave kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like a little grassy hill. Then what's the, is it Mulgura? What? Mulgura, yeah. His base is even better. It's a little houses, but at least it's not just like this weird shockwave. But because his head is so limited, like in not being able to tilt up and down at all, it really locks the angle of that laser breath to a pretty steep decline. So if you were to pose them, it's like Mechagodzilla just be like trying to shoot Godzilla's knees. So I'm going for the knees.
Flips Godzilla.
His over. Back spine's. Huh?
Just shoots Godzilla in the knee and just flips him forward.
Yeah. And the back spines pop off for that little upgrade kit with that the ship, whatchamacallit.
Oh!
That plugs onto his back, and then you have the gun sticking out or sticking over his shoulders, which I would really like to get because that looks so cool with the gun sticking over his shoulders. But that kit is going to cost more than I paid for Mechagodzilla now.
Yeah.
So unless I can grab that on sale at some point, I'll pass. But I'm hoping that because these are like the 90s style, the Godzilla and the Mechagodzilla. And I would really like them to do the 2000 era Mechagodzilla, because I think that Mechagodzilla looks amazingly awesome. So hopefully they come back around at some point and do that Mechagodzilla also.
Hmm.
And I could kind of get about the 70s Mechagodzilla.
Oh, but his head spins in place.
And it's got all them rivets.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I like the newer ones. So, that is all I got.
Aww.
And Mass Effect 3.
Hey! Everyone should be playing that if they've played other Mass Effects. Well, I'm going to say.
Yes.
And
don't play it if you haven't played the other Mass Effects.
No.
Because you're going to miss out on way too much.
No. I had some people asking me. I always get, like, people are asking still, like, hey, can I just play Mass Effect 3? And I'm kind of going, like, well, you technically can, but you'll be missing out on so much of the experience that I would really not recommend it.
Yeah, like, a dude at work asked me, he's like, oh, could I just get that, or should I have played the other two? I'm like, well, there's nothing saying you can't play it without playing the other two, but I would not recommend it, because so much stuff gets referenced, so many characters pop up, that you're just not going to have any attachment to whatsoever. So when this dude shows up, if you have played the other two, then you're like, oh, right on, that dude. But if you haven't, it's just like, oh, who's this dude?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine the whole Conrad Werner deal?
It would make no sense if someone had never played either of the other games. Right. They'd be like, why?
That's what I'm saying.
Why am I talking to this man? What is he talking about threatening to shoot me? Or that I'm threatening to shoot him? I don't. But. That game is a game that is worth playing, I think.
Yep, it is.
And I'll leave it at that.
Neither of you would have played him if it wasn't for me. You owe me.
That's true. That's why we're waiting for you to do something.
It's all me. Yeah. All the time.
I got some off-topic stuff I'd really like to talk about.
Well, why don't you then?
My friend Nice Stuff had another drop of sales of some of his cool stuff. One thing I got was he has these guys he's designed called the Anomalies, which are like his little alien monster in my pockets. So he releases new versions of them where he does just a whole bunch of paintwork or experimental coloring on them. So I picked up one of his slick slurs. It's the slur design. I got the one in the middle, the blue one. And it's been given, like, heavy layers of gloss coating, so it literally looks like it is a slimy pile of slugs. And the visual effect is really neat. Like, it looks moist, even though it's not moist. Also from that drop, I took a picture of some custom-painted and built Glios he was selling. I kind of binged on this, because he was selling basically a whole bunch of things colored in this silver, blue, and green color scheme called the Dig Crew. And silver, cold blue, and, like, neon green, or not even neon, just, like, really bright green, is a color palette that I adore. So I kind of bought 5 Dig Crew figures. I bought a Foreman, I bought a Glyan, I bought a bike, I bought a little Kraboth, and then in the back, I bought a custom-built figure that he made from a bunch of different parts, which is called a Liftor. And it's just this really, really weird chicken-legged, long-armed robot thing which lifts stuff. And they're all done in a fantastic paint job. The silver is like he gloss finished everything really nicely. It's they're a really cool bunch of figures, and the paintwork on them I'm really enjoying. So thanks again, Nice Stuff. He's the guy who got me into Glyos in the first place, and I really love what he does in the medium of painting action figures. Going to proper figure arts land, I went on Mandarake and I found one of the Pirate Sentai Rangers for less than an insane price. I found Gokai Pink for 6,000 yen as opposed to 120 bucks as she is on eBay. She's super pink. She comes with like 500 bajillion different hands and a different skirt. If you don't want her to have a proper skirt, if you like for some reason want her to do the splits, they give you this skirt made of 3 separate pieces, which kind of looks horrible. And that lets her be more poseable, if you really want that. So I am one Gokaiger away from having a full Sentai team of action figures. So I need to find the other Gokaiger lady, the yellow one, that's not racist. And I will then have a full team and I'll have gone too far. So I am happy, though, because it's been a while since I've gotten a severely pink action figure. And it needed to happen. Alongside that, to balance out the shipping, for about 3,000 yen, I got this dude called Lost Ankh. Suffice to say, if you know who he is, you know who he is. But if you don't know who he is, he's this kind of birdman monster with pieces of his face and one of his arms kind of missing and skinned off. And the paintwork on the figure is gorgeous. It's got these gradients from red to yellow to green, which look fantastic in person. And he also has several peacock elements, meaning that I can inadvertently harass Gog Dog by owning more peacock-related toy merchandise.
Yeah, up yours, buddy.
I'm just saying. Up my what?
Up your peacock hole.
Hey,
up your nose with a rubber hose.
By the way, if you want to see some cool reviews of some of these greed monster designs, Cook Sucks has all of them and has some great reviews up for these guys. So do check them out on his website, The Rabbit Hall, because he sucks the cook. Speaking of Nurse Midnight on Twitter, Stan, the box that Botshots Prime came in was actually primarily a box of Glyos stuff, because guy who I think sometimes listens to the podcast, Piaw, was selling off his bag of spare Glyos, which is basically a giant bag of Glyos stuff he wasn't using. And he didn't want to break it up or try to figure out prices for it, so he basically just said, I will sell this bag of Glyos for this price. And so a bunch of us went like, well, we're all interested in bits of it, so whoever's closest to him should just buy it, and then we'll split it up. And then Stan just said, all right, I'll buy it. And then I bought about 60 bucks worth of stuff out of it. So I got a whole bunch of bags of just delicious, delicious Glyos crack. Nothing too amazing to really share at length. The main grail in that set was there was a Glios design that I missed out on. It was a golden version of the main robot character, Argen. It was the Axis Argen Mark IV. And when that toy came out, I missed it. I just literally missed it. I'm trying to find a picture of it to share with you guys, because it's a really cool build. Oh, here we go. It's this kind of bulked out golden and red robot. It's the version on the right. And I never had the parts to make him. And P.A. had actually bought one of the very few pre-built ones that were for sale way back when this came out, during PAX, actually. And so I got that, and I love that little build. Like, I had no idea how nicely done it was. It's just this really awesome, beefy, compact, and posable golden robot with, like, this severe 80s aesthetic. So I was really happy about that. Also in the box, because Stan at New York Comic Con gave me one of these things again, too. There's this line of figurines done for both Kamen Rider and Sentai, which is basically the female characters from the shows done in a sort of anime style as, like, figures. So I have, like, the lady from Agito. And in this box was this character from the very first Sentai show I ever watched, one of the shows that got me into tokusatsu. This is a character called Furai Bijo. She's basically a space ninja with a housefly theme and this gigantic headset on her head with fly wings hanging off of it. So I have like an anime-looking little figurine of Furai Bijo, which is kind of cool because that's one of the first toku villains I saw. And she's kind of awesome. I shared a very flattering picture of her from the show. It really gets across the nature of the character. And should explain things pretty well to those who are not familiar. Also, I got... I got another one of those Astro Switch things from HLJ. And I was not about to pay full shipping for one tiny little thing. So, friend of the podcast, Andy Cobra Commander TFW... had basically out of nowhere started talking about these model kits called Danball Senki. And all I know about it is it looks like it's a really by the numbers toy commercial anime that's probably pretty boring about kids who build plastic model kit robots that they then use to fight each other in like tournaments and stuff with their robots fighting each other. And then one kid finds the plastic model kit robot that's actually got superpowers. And then like military little plastic model kit robots come to try to murder him in his house with tiny machine guns. That's all I know about it from this trailer I saw, and it didn't look actually all that fun, aside from that aspect. So, these kits are really inexpensive, they're like 700 yen, and some of the designs are really cool looking, so I picked up two of them. I haven't built them yet, but I got one called Joker. I like him because he has a creepy looking face with X's for eyes. And then I also bought this other one called Hakai-O, which I bought because Hakai means destroy and O means king. So he's called Destroy King, and he has a giant sword, and that was enough to make me want to know what he was like. All reports I've heard is that these are very well done, very affordable little model kits. If you find like they have this series does not really have a very unified design aesthetic, so there's a lot of very differing mecha looks in this lineup, and they're not very expensive. So if I have a good experience building these two, I might pick up some other ones just because like I don't really want to watch the show because it looks dumb, but I'm kind of liking these figures. And apparently, like, these things have full-on, like, upgrade kits, and there's even, like, a weird Botshots-esque game, I think, of, like, you get this thing with upgrade parts, and, like, when you get new upgrade weapons, it gives you more slots to attach to the little controller thing, and I don't know how it works, but it just kind of works. Has Andy tried to get you to buy any of these LBX things with your model kit purchases of late?
Yes, he actually has been showing these to me for a couple months, so it was probably long before he showed them to you. And I actually keep forgetting, so I think maybe the next time I have an AmiAmi order, I'll see if I can add one on here.
He showed it to me months ago, and I kept having to like keep the window open from the link he sent me because I could not remember what they were called. And then like basically that Astro Switch set showed up for Kamen Rider Forze, and then I was like, well, if I'm getting that, I may as well grab two of these 700 yen kits and see what they're like. And I popped them open to look at the parts, and they're pretty cool. Like, there's a mixture of translucent parts and you know, nice solid colored parts, so it looks pretty good. So I'm looking forward to building those. And the final thing I got, which shipped out on February 8th and did not show up until over a month later, was the debut figure in Sentinel's Rio Bone figure lineup, Anarchy Panty from Panty and Stocking. So I've not had the full gamut of trying out all the options on the figure yet because it showed up like yesterday and I've been very busy, but I still pulled it out of the box as soon as I could to see what the build quality is like because I've never owned anything from Sentinel. And to summarize it down as simply as possible, this figure feels like a much ballsier Figma. Like, it feels like if Figma, like, just grew a pair and went like, all right, so we make nothing but anime girls and then occasionally video game characters. What if we make a design that should not feasibly work as an action figure? And that's kind of what this feels like. And it's fantastic. There are parts of it that I think, like, if you're not careful, you could break, like the pegs that her hand's attached to. I've not seen any reports of breakages. I'm just saying, like, don't treat it like a $10 Walmart toy. Like, that aspect of it does feel a bit fragile. That aside, like, it is incredibly poseable, really well done joints. The only loose joint I have is her neck joint because her hair is so heavy. She is a really dense, heavy toy. Like, her price point seems kind of high for how big she is, but the quality of plastic and materials is absolutely well done. Swapping the faces is a breeze. I admit the front kind of banana-shaped hair bangs were a bit easy to fall off of her head at first until I kind of found if I just kind of push them in a little bit harder than I should, they kind of just grip in place. Her weapons are really well done. Two things, though, really stuck out to me right away. Number one, her hand sculpts are sublimely done. Like, Panty and Stocking has a very specific animation style that I think is incredibly hard to properly capture in a three-dimensional form. And the way that Sentinel sculpted her hands, like her various hand options, is like as perfect as could be for that art style. It's hard to describe why. You kind of just have to see them in person. Like, just the choice of line work, which is weird to say about a 3D object, it feels like well-drawn hands that are actually physical objects. So that was really cool. And the second thing that I thought was really neat, which at first I thought would be really irritating, are her earrings, because her earrings are separate pieces, and whenever you swap her faces, you also are basically pulling off her entire front of her face with the ears, so you then have to disconnect the earrings and plug them back onto the next face. I thought this would be bothersome until I tried it. The earrings clip on and off super easily, and by doing things this way, the earrings are also poseable. So if you tilt her head, you can swivel the earrings to, like, stay in tune with gravity. If I had one problem with the figure, it's that even though she comes with three different faces, I wish she came with more faces. Because I feel like I want the normal, stern-looking, straightforward expression that she has on the top of her box, on the box art. Like, I'd like to have that face too. But that aside, it is a really well-done toy. I'm extremely impressed. I think Sentinel, for this Rio Bone line, have got a really strong first entry in. I'm looking forward to the Stocking figure, and I am now more so considering looking into the Rio Bot line if it turns out to be of this level of quality as well. I heard their Evangelion that they've put out for Rio Bot was okay, but not as good as this. However, it also came out first, so I was severely impressed. And I gotta say, thank you, Gog Dog, for convincing me to pre-order this toy.
You're welcome.
Well done.
One thing that really hit me was the first time I took the figure out of the box, I was super surprised how heavy it was.
Yes.
Like, I thought that it had, like, die-cast feet. It was so heavy.
Yeah, I think it's the hair, because I don't think that's a hollow sculpt. That feels
solid
plastic.
It's the legs, too, because her lower legs are thick, for lack of a better term,
yeah.
But it's solid plastic. And
dude,
so,
the ankle joints are amazing. I didn't know that she would have that much ankle movement. And it still maintains the look of the animation. It's
yeah.
Really well done. If you don't have any interest in Panty and Stocking, then of course this toy is not going to interest you at all. But keep an eye on Sentinel's Rio Bone line, because they're doing a lot of Gainax stuff.
Yep,
and I'm sure when they run out of Gainax stuff, they will start going to other licenses.
Yeah, they up on AmiAmi right now, and probably other places for pre-order. They have Canty from
Fooly Cooly.
Fooly Cooly, yeah. And they're also going to be putting out in the Rio Bone line, Nono from Die Buster.
Yeah.
Which I'm obviously super excited about. So,
yeah, I'm not even going to say if that Nono figure is going to be extremely well done given the example I'm seeing with this figure right here. Like, I didn't think, I thought this was going to be a neat novelty of a figure that I would like pose maybe once or twice and forget about. This is a fun toy, and it's not like indestructible, but it feels at least as durable as a Figma, if not more so, as the easiest comparison I can think of. So, highly recommended. If you liked Panty and Stocking, you owe it to yourself to get these figures. Panty is going to get reissued alongside Stocking, I believe, when that toy comes out in, like, May, if I recall correctly. So, don't despair if you missed out on Panty so far.
And Stocking comes with two pairs of sunglasses, one for her and one for Panty.
Yeah, and honestly, if you have one, you need the other. Like, that's just, it's a given. So, very impressed. I was starting to think it might have actually been stolen from, like, the front porch or something, or the front staircase, and then it just showed up suddenly one day, and I was like, hobby search box, I know what this is! And it's a great toy. So, well done, Sentinel. I am very impressed by my first time interacting with your stuff. If you listen to this podcast, that would mean something, but you don't. So, hey, sirrah, sirrah. That's all I got that's off topic this week. Gog, take us out with your off topic.
One thing that I was super bummed about last week was two weeks ago from today was the day that I received my PlayArts Kai Cyborg Ninja from Metal Gear Solid. Super excited to talk about it. Completely forgot to mention it. PlayArts Kai Cyborg Ninja is pretty freaking cool. Actually, I have him right here. He does some really good stuff that is taking what previous PlayArts Kai figures, especially recent ones, have done and kind of making them better. I love the way his hip joints, like, and most of his joints look like they are actually like he has sculpted on discs on his hips. So it looks like he has like a robotic joint. Mm-hmm. Which is really just a cover for the ball joint, but it's everything is hidden really well. All his wrist articulation, universal joints, but everything is ratcheting. Like his ankles, this is his ankle ratcheting.
Ah, it's delicious.
His wrists have small indented ratchets. Everything in this figure, with the exception of the hips, the torso, ab crunch, and ball joint. And his neck, I guess his shoulders aren't ratcheted either, but everything else, like his knees, elbows, are all nice clicky ratchets. All the joints are nice and tight. It feels very reminiscent of the Halo-style play arts, but just with way better tolerances. He's outstanding. Like, if you are a fan of that first Metal Gear Solid, then I would really recommend finding a way to pick up this guy before he sells out and shoots up in price. But he's gorgeous. He does a couple of really cool things. At first it looked like he had two bicep swivels, because he has kind of a universal joint at his shoulder, and then a bicep swivel basically right below it. But he's got kind of a second bicep swivel, but when I messed with it, I realized that it was basically just the entire shoulder armor is like a cowling that goes over the shoulder joint. So it's not actually a bicep swivel. It's just that the shoulder armor can swivel independently on top of the joint. So it's just awesome. Like, imagine, you know, the problem that all the Iron Man figures have, where it has that shoulder armor, but as you move the armor, like the shoulder armor is usually like connected to the torso.
Oh, and it starts just like flapping.
So like if you were to lift up the arm, like it has to like fold up, and it completely breaks the illusion that there's some sort of armor on there, and it's nothing but just a hunk of plastic on a different part.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Now imagine if that shoulder armor actually had like a clip and clipped above the bicep swivel so that the bicep and everything could move, and that shoulder joint was just like a cowling over the universal shoulder joint, and no matter which way it moved, it would stay perfectly in place. Like, that's what this is. Like, it's just an awesome little design. So, I don't know. I was just really impressed with it. It's something small that I've never really seen before, and it answers that problem that we've seen in other figures. And another thing that he has that I really love is he's got that like that scapula joint where, like, if you wanted to have him hold his sword with two hands, which would require his shoulders to, like, angle forward, like, his shoulders are actually inset so that if you were to pull his arm forward, the shoulders, like, rotate outwards on a hinge.
Oh, nice.
And it looks, yeah, it's like a shoulder blade joint. So it's just lots of really cool design cues, but the tolerances and everything are really good. The only problem, I think, are... sometimes when you're bending his elbows, his forearms tend to pop off the pegs fairly easily. They don't by any means come off on their own or fall off, but I think it's just meant because his forearm is meant to easily pop off because he has the laser cannon that you see at the end of the game, mm-hmm. where that replaces his whole lower arm. So it's meant to come off easy, and sometimes it comes off a little too easy while you're posing him, but that's really about my only complaint. He's great. He's nice and solid. All his joints are great. So, yeah, he is... one of the best purchases I think I've made.
He's one of those toys time. That really like is swaying me. Like PlayArts Caius is one of those toy lines that I always almost buy from, but it's like if I have to pare one down, it's usually the first thing I go like, I like that, but I just can't do it right now. And I've been hearing not just from like your photos and the reactions to them, but across the web, a lot of people have been looking at that particular figure, the Cyborg Ninja, and going like, that looks like something I want to buy, and I'm not even into that line. Like it sounds like it's a very top tier. PlayArts Kai.
Yep. It's probably the best overall quality PlayArts Kai that I've had. It's really good. And I hope that they continue to bring this A game with them as they go forward, because there's lots of stuff. I mean, you know what's coming out in PlayArts Kai later this year, right?
I mean, there's a bunch of stuff coming out in PlayArts Kai. There's Mass Effect.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to. There
that's
is
gonna, that's the one. There where is I don't care Garrus, what I say about it.
Garrus Vakarian
yeah.
is getting a 10-inch figure.
Yeah,
if the quality is anything close to what this is, you are going to be impressed, son.
The Mass Effect toys are the ones where I'm like, for everything I just said, that is a line I'm buying, almost just in to spite those lousy DC Direct ones.
Yeah,
like Mass Effect deserves good toys, and thank goodness. Like maybe they're only going to get the three. I don't know, but thank goodness
usually,
they're going to get something.
Usually, the way PlayArts often works is they do a first wave of three from a franchise, and then they do a second wave of three. Like that's exactly what they did with the Halo stuff. Like they did the first three Nobles, and then the last three. I don't. Maybe they tend to deviate that I guess a little more from the Kai stuff, but with their Final Fantasy stuff, they've always done that. Even before PlayArts went to Kai on their old PlayArts, like they would
trios.
Always do. Yeah, they do a wave one trio and a wave two trio. They did that with Halo. I think they did that with their Final Fantasy 12 Kais, which were some of the first Kais they did.
Yeah.
A lot of the Kai stuff they do, they only do like one or two figures now because they're much larger figures. And they'll only do a couple.
Is it weird that I kind of want the Street Fighter ones because they look so, like, deformed?
I don't know. Have you seen the Cammy? The Cammy
yeah,
actually,
I know.
The Cammy actually looks kind of good.
Well, the way they look, because, like, Street Fighter's aesthetic right now is just kind of, like, just hyper-deformed musculature, but not just crazy enough to make you kind of squint. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the way that I've looked at all the PlayArts ones released so far, Chun-Li, Ryu, Akuma, and Cammy, and I'm like, something about the way they did those figures is entirely working for me in ways that, as good as the toys were from everything I heard, the Nika ones just didn't click with me quite right. But the PlayArts ones are doing something that is like making me go like, that feels right. And I mean, I know that they, like, if you try to look at them as real humans, they look bandy as crazy. But As Street Fighter figures.
And I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just the pictures I've seen, but I think Cammy has been an exception to that. Like, it just looked really good. Like, I've seen images of her that make her look like, wow, like that's... Because I think PlayArts Kai really excels with figures where they're wearing something. Like, with the Halo guys, they're in the Spartan armor. Like with Solid Snake, he's got like the sneaking suit and stuff. So it's easy to mask the joints when you're doing stuff like that. Ninja, he's in an exoskeleton.
Yeah.
One that I'm really looking forward to is the Sam Gideon from Vanquish. I don't know if you've seen pictures of that one, but that figure looks pretty awesome. And I really like that game too.
I think the lack of masking the joints. Just somehow the way that PlayArts does its joints And the fact that they're so unmasked on the Street Fighter ones is what I like about them. Like, it seems to just match the musculature of a Street Fighter character in a really weird way that is really clicking with me. I'm like, yeah, if I trip over $500 and decide to just binge on Play Arts, the Street Fighter ones are probably going to be on the list alongside obvious ones like the Ninja.
Yeah, but I would...
just into Cammy's butt.
You mean I'm literally physically like just wedged in?
I don't even use Cammy. Like, I don't even care. I was just kind of impressed with how she turned out. But I'm not going to get her, but I thought she looked cool. But I still think PlayArts is continuing to really increase their quality.
I heard the Batman ones were pretty good.
Yeah. I never heard anything about them.
Yeah, they're out. I mean, the Joker and Batman from Arkham Asylum are out.
That Batman, I think, looks really cool, except for his head seems way too tall. Like, the ears are super long, but just the shape of his skull seems really oblong.
He's really smart. He has a big brain.
He's like the leader from the Hulk.
Yeah. Batman with a huge forehead. But yeah, anything aside from the Cyborg Ninja?
Oh, yeah. Got D-Style Arbalest from Full Metal Panic. So my D-Style army continues to grow. I finally actually built my Gal Gaigar, too. I built them one day after another earlier this week. So.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So I only have one more D-Style, I think, that I own in hand, which is the flak-jacketed Ingram from Pat Labor. And I have a couple more that are pre-ordered. So, yeah, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 D-Style kits now that I own. So I love those guys, and they're just cheap and fun. And I think BBTS actually got a local distributor deal. So whereas getting those from them were traditionally about $30, you can now get them for $15. Like they have the Goldion Hammer upgrade set on pre-order. Yeah, I think the pre-order was originally $25. They just sent out an email a couple weeks ago saying that they got a local distributor and the price is now $14.99.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So, yeah. So I still have more Gal Gaigars to make. And I think I still need to pre-order the King Jader. But it's too bad it's out of scale. But I guess there's no way they could do that in scale.
Well, once you go into Chibi, King Jader's scale, I think it's completely like kind of out the window. It's just he's got to look big.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Here, look at this while I talk.
Okay.
This is pictures of the Vanquish Play Arts guy. But what else did I get? That's really about it. I got a Mega Man Complete Works art book, which made Proto Man give me a back slap. So
good man. All of these look cool.
Yeah, look at the face sculpting. Like, these are like, they're basically like 10-inch figures. I'm not going to ever say that they're approaching Hot Toys or anything.
Oh, no, no.
But you get, I mean, when you consider what you get at the 12-inch scale and how much they cost, and then keep in mind that these are generally about $50 retail.
Yeah.
I think they're a great deal for what you get.
I don't even know anything about Vanquish except that it was a short game.
Vanquish is made by Platinum Games, and everything Platinum Games makes is awesome. Platinum Games made Bayonetta.
Okay, yeah, I don't know anything about it, but I'm looking at this armor design, like the white one especially. It's the cleanliness of it looks gorgeous, and also these are PlayArt's Kai photos on a nice, like nice background, nicely composited with. I can see everything.
Vanquish has a game on the control pad dedicated to smoking a cigarette in the middle of battle.
That's kind of fantastic.
Can you do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to be doing yourself a favor as well. Download the Vanquish demo on your Xbox.
Okay.
Just do that. Promise me you'll do it.
I will get on that.
Okay. There you go. It's you know, it's not long. It's a couple of battles, but I want to see what you think. That's it. That's a show.
Oh, I forgot something that was very important. Forgot it as soon as you started talking.
It's almost that's it. That's almost the show.
I know, but I got to say this because this came from a listener. Ursa Magnus on TFW heard me talk about Marvel Universe Gladiator. Sent me a message saying that He bought two gladiators hoping to get one with good paint, and it turns out they both had good paint. Did I want the other gladiator? I said yes, and he very, very kindly just sent it here and asked for nothing in return. So thank you very much, Ursa Magnus. I now have Marvel Universe Gladiator out of the kindness of Ursa Magnus's heart or spark, I guess, if I want to be all TFWE. And he looks pretty cool. Like, there's lots about him that is everything I think is wrong with a lot of Marvel Universe, but he's also Gladiator, and he's a really, like, just strongly sculpted, very decently painted Gladiator with a big cape and a big mohawk. There's not going to be another Gladiator toy probably for a very long time, unless I miss something. So I really appreciate it. And even though he's not, like, the best figure, he is kind of filling in that nice kind of craving I sometimes get for I just want some Cosmic Marvel plastic. So,
how do you like those thigh swivels?
How do I like those? Yeah, they're fantastic. I love how they're so good that they're not even there.
Yep. That's how badass Gladiator is. He doesn't need to swivel his thighs. He's Gladiator.
I love his mohawk so much. Is he still the king of the Skrulls right now? I don't know if Marvel just kind of abandoned Cosmic again, but last I checked, Gladiator became not the Skrulls, the Shi'ar Empire.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm not an expert on Cosmic Marvel, but I didn't know he was a Skrull.
I'm so tired right now. I almost forgot to bring up Gladiator. I got distracted by Panty, and I'm also really tired. So I wanted to make sure that mention got out there. So thank you, Ursa Magnus. Gladiator is proudly standing amidst the three Marvel Universe toys I have out here in Toronto. So he's chilling with Darkhawk and generally looking like a better toy than Darkhawk. That's not very hard. So that is the show as well. So thank you all for listening. We will be back again. If you want to leave us a voicemail, the number is 318-775-9830, 318-775-9830, 318-775-9830. If you want to be a badass who's totally just like riding a joke that'll probably be dead by next week, you should totally introduce yourself as Wang something something on the voicemail inbox, so that in 4 months when we get to those voicemails, we'll be really confused as to what the hell's going on. So thank you, Gog Dog. Thank you, Seth, for joining me. And have a good night, everybody. Sleep well, especially if it's the afternoon.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.